Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Friday, August 13, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Very important topics around natural immunity that we're going to completely demolish once again. It's actually pretty infuriating that we have to continue to come back around and basically say the same exact thing again. Now, this is what we're here to do, right? This is what The Last American Vagabond is all about, continuing to knock down all the mainstream propaganda. But we were going to go over masks again today, but I decided to not make it entirely redundant because both masks, as you've seen, and the natural immunity conversation are being thrown out there in the mainstream right now. Even as you see in the title, not kidding, calling natural immunity a dangerous theory. It's just staggering that we can be in this position after we've all lived through chicken pox and different things in the past. That, I mean, you can look up articles about how it's just frustrating how it's common sense and it's being called a dangerous theory now in the context of COVID-19. The mask will put off until another show just because there's a lot to go over there again. And I know all of you on the show in the chat are well aware of all the information around masks in particular. But we're also going to be talking about a little bit on lockdowns as well, and some information regarding foreign policy about Afghanistan to start off the show today. But a couple of really important studies in the middle around COVID-19, around both the Delta variant, around how damaging it can be, the viral load of people who are vaccinated yet coming in contact with the Delta variant, or the concept of antibody-dependent enhancement, and how every single thing we've been telling you is basically coming down, you know, around their ankles at this point, and all they can do is act like everything means it's working the way it should, even though that makes no sense at all. And of course, we have a lot of people in the independent media still continuing to toe the mainstream line, even people that are classically, at least ostensibly, anti-establishment. It's very confusing to me. Now, we're going to start off. I want to show you something really quickly that I thought was interesting. And this is, you know, there tends to be delays lately when I get started, not because I plan that. I'd love to start exactly on the moment when I'm set to, but there's a lot of weird things that have been happening lately. I saw this just now before I went live from StreamYard. Traffic is unexpectedly high right now. We're creating more resources to handle it. Please wait 30 to 60 seconds. And I did, and I did again, and I did again, and I did again, and it stayed there. And I'm not implying that's some kind of a manipulation. It's just strange. StreamYard. It's a gigantic platform, which all they do is have this kind of resource, right? It's just very interesting to me. But I feel like this is more so indicative of everything. Like, I feel like right now you ask everybody around you, pretty much most people you talk to right now have probably experienced something weird thing with their phone, some weird issue with connectivity, some problem with resources or infrastructure. Or now we're all of a sudden starting to see the things with food again. Food items are going short because of what? Because of something we've been dealing with for a year on, and it only right now, right? It doesn't make any sense in the context of shipping or trucking that all of a sudden now versus before it's happening. There's obviously some sort of effort taking place right now. And I believe it has to do with what they're trying to build out in regard to the technocratic future. And I will, by the way, be getting into the infrastructure bill and all of that as soon as that is definitive. I don't like to kind of go through and comb through these things. It's something that large anyway, when it's still kind of up in the air, but we'll be going through that. There's a lot of alarming stuff. Bottom line, if you want my take on it to start, that's the Great Reset. I mean, it's not even a secret. They're literally talking about rebuilding infrastructure. And it's like it's stuff that, by the way, these bridges and roads and things that have been broken and dilapidated for a long time that are only now being rebuilt because COVID-19, it's suspicious. On top of that, they already told you what they're going to do. Build back better, right? It's not your choice. But going into something in regard to foreign policy and larger manipulations of your government before we get into COVID-19, this is something that I haven't been covering a lot. And if you're interested in hearing more in-depth content about what's happening right now with Assange, I recommend you listen to Slow News Day or listen to the Duran or people that have been covering it extensively. But this is a really frustrating topic. And the reason I want to talk about this to start is because of how it really does show you what we're dealing with here. Let's not pretend that this is something separate. This is the same government that's driving in what's happening right now. The same authority, the same everything around all of this, whether it's not just the US government, it's the authority. It's the, what's the, what is it that, uh, Whitney was calling it there's a lot of different names for this. This what's building in front of us. I believe it was Michelle Chostovsky who made the argument that what's happening right now is the materialization of the world government. That's what the WEF and what this is becoming. Right. And you can see it happening. They're handing down health mandates to every country in the world. Now, maybe you think that's temporary. Maybe it's not. But the point is that this is all kind of stemming back to the same authority, the same people, the same governments that are doing this to this person for telling you the truth. So if we're going to pretend like they're the same people fighting for you and trying to get you all the best in-depth information about your health, and they're also the ones keeping this from your view, and you have both those things in your mind, recognize that doesn't make sense. Why would they care about being honest with you around your health, but completely try to hide the reality around their horrific human rights violations and murder around the world? Now, this is an article from ABC just saying U.S. granted more grounds to appeal on Assange extradition. The point being that they're obviously the U.S. government is desperate to get Julian Assange over to their torture prisons, which is what we are. Which is, you know, by the way, I'm kind of being facetious, but everybody is saying that, even the mainstream, even Nils Melsner, the rapporteur on torture, is going, if he goes over to the United States, bad things will happen to him. Let's not pretend like that's not what's happening here. We love to have this flowery picture of what we believe our government is. That's wrong. And I believe we're beginning to see that. But this is pretty frustrating because they're still trying. And despite their case crumbling in front of them, the U.S. is going to appeal what should be an obvious ruling here. And it's just going to extend the suffering of this person, which is probably the whole point. If not, then after that, he gets extradited anyway. Now, what this says is British High Court on Wednesday granted U.S. authorities permission to extend their grounds for appealing an earlier U.K. court decision to block the extradition of Julian Assange, where he is wanted on espionage charges. District Court Judge Vanessa Barrister ruled in January that Assange was likely to kill himself if held under harsh U.S. prison conditions. Exactly. Like, just recognize how openly discussed this is, and we don't like to say that out loud on the news. The U.S. government is appealing. Right. We're appealing that we're a torturous, terrible government that kills people for our own purposes. We'll appeal that in court. You know, it shows you anyway, the bottom line is this is going to stretch this problem out, not to get too deep into this for so a lot of other stuff to talk about today. And this, of course, is what I wanted to read you specifically, which is a good amount to read here real quick. So I just want you to understand, especially coming from somebody like John Pilger, somebody who is a wildly respected journalist and used to be both in the mainstream and everywhere else until the mainstream, until he continued to tell the truth in the time when it became that their job was only about lying. The bottom line is the media has always been kind of back and forth, giving you partial truths and, you know, keeping you thinking they're honest. Well, today that's kind of been thrown out the window because this is obviously an endgame scenario that they're driving in at all costs. But the people like John Pilger and plenty of others, you know, quite obviously started to deviate from what the mainstream was doing because he continued to be honest with you. He continued to fight for your truth or the truth and for your information. But what we're seeing here is an overview of what Julian Assange or WikiLeaks specifically allowed you to see. And I don't think everybody's really aware of how much was exposed and how little has been done about that. While everything was done to everybody who pointed these crimes out. Nobody denies these are all crimes committed by your government. Nobody. Not a single person has ever been even investigated for these crimes, but every single person involved with showing you these verifiable crimes committed by your government has been attacked, arrested, tortured. I mean, good God, how do we pretend like we don't see who these people are? Now, check this out. This says, for those who may have forgotten, WikiLeaks, of which Assange is founder and publisher, exposed the secrets and lies that led to the invasion of Iraq, Syria, and Yemen, the murderous role that the Pentagon in dozens of countries. The blueprint, by the way, just so we're clear, these are all verifiable documents that proved that these things are taking place. This is not an opinionated comment by John Pilger. This is fact. These are facts proven by WikiLeaks, or that were published by WikiLeaks, proven by the whistleblowers. Goes on to say the blueprint for the 20-year catastrophe in Afghanistan, which we'll touch on next, the attempts by Washington to overthrow elected governments such as Venezuela's, the collusion between nominal political opponents, Bush and Obama, to stifle a torture investigation, and the CIA's Vault 7 campaign that turned your mobile phone, even your TV set, into a spy in your midst. WikiLeaks released almost a million documents from Russia for all those that continue to pretend like, why doesn't he do this about them and them over there? WikiLeaks never picked what they released. They were leaked things, and then they decided what how to release this so it wouldn't hurt people or put people in danger. People always go, they're only releasing stuff about these people. Well, they don't pick and choose who whistleblows to them. So let's be smart about this. But the point is, people used to scream how they're not saying anything about Russia or Israel. Well, yeah, they did multiple times. But on this case, documents from Russia, which allowed Russian citizens to stand up for their rights. It revealed the Australian government had colluded with the U.S. government against its own citizens. Assange, or its own citizen. This is in regard to Australia, Assange. It named those Australian politicians who have, quote, informed for the U.S. It made the connection between the Clinton Foundation and the rise of jihadism in American armed states in the Gulf. I mean, these are all conspiracy theories that have been 100% proven with documentation, and that's why this person is in jail. I mean, I hope this is clear. This is the same thing as us proving to you that these things are damaging, that the masks are not statistically significant against transmission, that the lockdowns are destroying everybody's lives, and being censored and attacked for doing so, right? And no way am I trying to compare myself or anybody else with Julian Assange. The point is, it's the same war being waged against all of us. And that's why this is important. I mean, just think about what that's showing you. The Clinton Foundation, the riot, like literally the war on terror stems from your government. I mean, we should know these things by now. There is more. WikiLeaks disclosed the U.S. campaign to suppress wages in sweatshop countries like Haiti, India's campaign of torture in Kashmir. Like, so, oh my gosh, Haiti is hurting its people. And here's the U.S. government campaigning to suppress the wages they're being paid because they care about those people, right? It's all a big show for you guys if you believe what they're saying, whether COVID or foreign policy. India's campaign of torture, because we care about people, right? The British government's secret agreement to shield U.S. interest in its official Iraq inquiry, and the British Foreign Office's plan to create a fake marine protection zone in the Indian Ocean to cheat the Chagos Islanders out of their right of return. Does this sound like anything that's, you know, being done for the right of the freedom and, you know, individual rights and everything they pretend they care about? Right. That's a mirage they put forward because they know that you care about those things, which is a great point that Caitlin Johnstone's made in the past. That it shows you that we're inherently good people because they wouldn't pretend to be good if we didn't want people that were good. Doesn't mean that everybody's good. But the point is that by and large, as Americans or people in the world, we want good things. We want people that care and protect and, you know, and respect each other. And that's why they pretend to be those things, because they're not those things. It says, in other words, WikiLeaks has given us real news about those who govern us and take us to war. And, you know, the ones that are currently forcing a technocratic revolution over you using this injection and vaccine passports and all the things that they would otherwise be doing in wartime and testing on people abroad, but now is coming home to you. As I keep telling you, you are under U.S. sanctions right now. Not the preordained repetitive spin that fills newspapers and television screens. This is real journalism. And for the crime of real journalism, Assange has spent most of the past decade in one form of incarceration or another, including Belmarsh Prison, a horrific place. Diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome, he's a gentle, intellectual visionary driven by his belief that a democracy is not a democracy unless it's transparent and accountable. Yesterday, the United States sought the approval of Britain's High Court to extend the terms of its appeal against a decision by a district judge in January to bar his extradition. She accepted the deeply disturbing evidence of a number of experts that Assange would be at great risk if he were incarcerated in the U.S.'s infamous prison system. Unfortunately, this is now being appealed. It just needs to really sink in for people that this is the same group right now that is forcing this on you. So let's not pretend that we're fighting something different here, right? If you're over here pointing out Syria's, you know, the crimes in Syria, the OPCW, or over here pointing out Julian Assange being attacked by the government, then simultaneously you're over here pretending like everything happening under the health scenario is totally on the up and up. You're lying to yourself, or you're being willfully ignorant. It's quite plainly clear that they're the same dishonest government that's attacking everything else in your life. Hopefully we're on the same page. Now, in the same vein of thought, this is one that I had to talk about today because, as you know, well before COVID-19, I was constantly in foreign policy discussions, and even since then, I've been making the same point about Afghanistan and the same, you know, surface level comments about the lies they will spin you, such as We're going to leave this place or that place. Now we're going to send more people in to make sure they get out. And then, uh-oh, something happens, and now we have to stay with more people. But we were going to leave, we promise. Say, yeah, I could point to 35,000 examples of that just in the, I mean, I'm being facetious, but you know, point back every single time you've ever heard them say, we're leaving Afghanistan, we're leaving Syria, we're leaving Iraq. Guess what happened next? But here we are again with the same thing happening. Now, the point here is this article reads, Taliban now 30 miles from Kabul as terrifying march on Capitol begins. Well, okay, let's take a quick step back and recognize how this started. First of all, the illegal invasion of Afghanistan has how this started, which, or really, let's take it a step further back, the creation of Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, or not Taliban, of Al-Qaeda, which was the Mujahideen, which the U.S. government used to fight against the Soviet Union, which they then left and said, we won, hooray, and left the country to fall apart because they didn't care about the people of Afghanistan. They cared about their agenda, which became Al-Qaeda, which then, you know, you could, there's arguments to how this was being controlled and worked with up past then, but the point is it was created by the U.S. government. Destabilize the country. Then you talk about the invasion, the occupation, which was illegal. No one's ever said otherwise. It's always been an illegal occupation based on lies, which they then continued to occupy, right? Then you jump forward to today. There's a lot in the middle there, but here's the point. Donald Trump's administration made a deal with the Taliban, which is ridiculous. Ridiculous, because by the way, Biden's just talking about similar things. It's not like only one side. They're all willing to deal with the very group that was the impetus for why we had to invade, because the Taliban terrorists are so terrible. Well, guess what? Nothing changed. All this time later, all that's happened is you spent money out of your pocket for them to build stuff that they didn't really complete, which really then went to warlords and all the drug trafficking and everything else. But the Taliban remained the same. So why then, all these years later, are they going to deal with the people that were the reason for invading? Okay, so were they no longer terrorists? No, it's the same group. Okay, so did they not really care about the terrorism in the beginning? It was really just an excuse to invade the country? That's probably what's happening here. Either way, they made a deal. Okay, and then Biden took place and went, we don't care about that timeline. I went over this on the show. It was very clear. There was a timeline that was supposed to be met. The Taliban was going, look, if you meet this, we're good. Biden just ignored it. Didn't care. Said, we'll do it a month after that. And guess what happened? The Taliban said, well, now we're not in a deal anymore. And whose fault is that? Now, I'm not even saying it was a smart, that I agree with the deal with the Taliban. The point is, this was planned. They made a choice they knew the Taliban would not be okay with. And now we're watching the Taliban do what it said it was going to do if Biden didn't meet the timeline. Shocking, I know. None of this is discussed in the mainstream media. Now we're on a terrifying march to the Capitol. And guess what's happening now? The U.S. is sending 3,000 troops to evacuate embassy staff in Kabul because of the terrifying march on the cap. Okay, so ultimately this amounts to more people going into Afghanistan. Now remember, this doesn't even include all of the contractors, which is the bulk of what's happening there. So even when they remove things, they really still have lots and lots of people there that aren't official U.S. troops. So it's all a mirage anyway. But this is, again, just like with Syria. Remember when I told you this in Syria? We're sending troops in to help evacuate, which is just stupid, by the way. You don't need 3,000 troops to evacuate people, but they do this every time. And then what happened in Syria? Oh, that's right. Trump said, we're leaving. And then we got there with more people. And he said, they did something bad. Now we have to stay. And all the supporters said, yay, Trump, fight the bad guys. Well, here we are again. Now we're putting them in to help leave. But what do you think is going to happen? Well, here's the NATO security general speaking up, saying the U.S.-led military alliance would support the Afghan government in the face of the Taliban offensive, warning that militants against taking the country by force. Right. You mean the group that's been literally in control of this for the most part since long before the U.S. government invaded? I'm not trying to say the Taliban's someone to support. The point is that it's pretty ridiculous to see how the U.S., you know, sticks its finger in the whole problem, makes it worse. And then now is, you know, it's just, it's silly how this all works out. Bottom line, this is NATO. I guess you could argue one of two things, filling the role of the U.S. government, or the same as the same difference. So if they're now going, we're going to help to fight the, it's the same thing. We're not leaving. This is not ending. No one's going anywhere. If NATO is pushing back in, we're back to 2001, guys. This is all the same thing. And all it was we're leaving. And now, oh, they did bad stuff. Oh, we can't leave now. We got to fight for freedom, right? Fight for freedom. Safe and effective. It's all safe and freedom, freedom, right? It's just a nonsense, repetitive, they just keep battering you with the same old nonsensical things they don't prove. Over and over. And over. Here's a journalist saying the Taliban not only seized 100 Humvees and all this different stuff. Billions of U.S. taxpayer dollars. Right, taxpayer dollars that never should have gone there to begin with because it was an illegal war based on things that we were lied to about, right? On and on and on, right? Well, guess what he says? Thanks to their hasty withdrawal. Yeah, only took them 20 years. Real hasty, right? Without the peace deal. Oh, you mean the deal that they had in place, but Biden blew up on purpose? Yep, exactly. Great journalism, guy. These are the kind of people that constantly toe the normal line. They want you to think a certain way about this. Oh my God, how dare he leave an illegal war? That's why this is all happening. No, that's not why this is all happening, but that's what all the fake news will tell you. Well, 20 years of war in Afghanistan has cost you $2.2 trillion. Oh yeah, and thousands of U.S. troops have died. All sorts of terrible things. Hundreds and hundreds of individual, or you know, civilians are killed by the drones all the time. No one cares about this stuff though, right? And guess what? It's all starting back over again. But it's a whole new thing though, right? It's all new. It's different though. It's not like before. This is new. The Taliban is doing stuff bad. Now we have to stop them. Totally different situation, right, guys? That they really treat you like your children. I hope we can see that. This is a silly, silly scenario. And the point is, as Robert just wrote, Joe Biden admits he isn't pulling out of Afghanistan. Now, of course, you can call it a drawdown if you want to pretend that's happening, which it also isn't happening. But their argument is we're not going to leave entirely. Now it became, we're leaving to, we're putting more people in, but eventually we're going to leave. Now, not entirely though, we're going to leave about 700,000 people just to make sure. Shocking, I know. Exactly like we told you would happen. So whether it ends up being a small amount or contractors in a big amount or whatever, the U.S. government is never leaving Afghanistan. Why? Because they need it for whatever else they're trying to accomplish in the Middle East. And that's very clear. It has nothing to do with the people of Afghanistan, human rights, or freedom. And of course, also to steal. Defray the cost of assistance. This was written back in 2017. I just want to point this out because right now, this is kind of a new topic. Everyone's going, oh, this is why it's lithium and this and that. Well, yeah, we've known that for years. The U.S. was already stealing from the Afghanistan mountains to defray their cost of assistance. Right, right. You mean to add on top of all the illegal opium sales and the illegal trafficking and all the illegal other everything else that you raped and pillaged from this country, just like Iraq and everywhere else? Right. No, this was the point. Lithium in the mountains on top of everything else that they were taking, just like everywhere else we've seen. Shouldn't be too hard to recognize this. No, one last point on foreign policy. Baghdad says Iran halted electricity exports to Iraq. This is interesting. I want to dig into this more. I want to maybe talk to Robert about this, but this is, I find this to be very telling. My just kind of high altitude take on this. I think this is Iran playing a very carefully crafted action here. Okay, so the bottom line is Iran is, you know, classically aligned with Iraq, but the government has been pretty much rolled over 1,000 times until even right now, especially just someone who's probably just trying to get by and not have the U.S. government overthrow him. Right. So aside from that, though, the PMU and most of the military seems to be pretty much aligned ideologically with Iran. And Iran has been a huge supporter, especially in energy exports to Iraq. But with the way that the U.S. government has been treating it and using it as its shooting zone, right? Shooting, you know, even attacking its Iraq's own military as the Iraqi government still pretends like they're supporting the government. Iran, I believe, just halted its electricity exports to put the brunt of the problem on the U.S. government. It's very interesting. Now, you could argue this is a kind of a cold action, knowing that it's probably going to hurt civilians in Iraq, but they are literally at war. I'm not saying I agree with that, but what I'm saying is that this is an interestingly strategic move if that's what's happening, because now what's going to happen when Iraq is struggling with for electricity, for imports of everything. Well, if the U.S. government is doing what it says it's doing, it should help these people. How much you want to bet that doesn't happen? And they just struggle. And all they're going to do is probably just be like, Iran did that. Well, aren't you over here trying to yell about how they're importing and crossing the border into Iraq? Suddenly now you are mad at them for not doing that? These are my guesses. Let's wait and see how this plays out. But I bet you that's what happened. Okay. Now, as we just spent 26 minutes on foreign policy, I know people are so eager to get into everything else, but that stuff's important, guys. It has obvious connections to everything else. But I want to make a point about censorship as well. BitChute just pointed this out. We get reports worldwide that Google searches for the exact term, BitChute, place us below years-old unfavorable reports, which is not hard to see. Look it up for yourself. You know what? Why this is such a big deal? Not just because Google is hiding information from you, because it's wildly unethical and anti-competitive for a company to use its monopoly in search to gain an advantage. Why? Because YouTube, Google. So they're using their own search engine, knowing it's the worldwide search engine that everybody uses, to put a place lower in the results, people who are competing with them. But this is okay, right? Because they're part of the good guy group, apparently. Doesn't matter. Laws and integrity and morals don't apply to the good guy group. Only the bad guy group. It's just so childish. This is ridiculous. This is a crime. They should be held accountable for it, but they won't. We all see that. We all know that. People who don't like BitChute will just pretend it's not there because they're hypocrites. Pretty simple. This is censorship in real time, and we're watching it happen, and nobody cares. I want to make a point about the school board meeting that I attended in Williamson County. This is now made might as well be international news. This is made national news. Williamson County, a small county in Franklin, which is a subset of Nashville. Like, it's just really odd to me. And I want to make a quick point on this, which is what I said last time. It's turned out, since all this has panned out, it's been revealed to me and everyone else that one of the main people that stood up and spoke, which, by the way, I didn't even see in the line. I could have missed it, but I saw people in line waiting to speak. I wanted to speak, so I was right up there. Didn't see this guy, ended up speaking anyway, which kind of says something to me. But it turns out, guess what? He works for Fox. And apparently he's the new Rush Limbaugh replacement. And yet somehow he's here speaking at a Williamson County school board meeting, right? And then guess what? He was the one that made the comment that we're coming for you. And he did clearly say, after a long pause politically, which I pointed out, but that turned out to be the comment that they're now using to kind of make this whole argument. That spun out after that. We know who you are. We're coming for you. Okay, so it made me very concerned. And by the way, I'm not the only one that was there that sees this and believes that there was something very, very, something amiss, that there was some orchestration happening here, right? 70% of this entire room was screaming against the mask mandates, but all the same group that was all in the same beginning, who all spoke at the same time, all ended up, and the mandate went the way they wanted it to. It's very interesting. Now, I also wonder why he's on Tucker all of a sudden. This is international news. There are mask school mandates, school board meetings and mandates all over this country right now. Why this one? Also, by the way, I just saw another person in a different mandate discussion, I believe in Nashville, who basically said the exact same speech as this guy who I saw. Now, maybe he just copied it. But anyway, my point is there is some very clear orchestration happening here. Now, whether this is instigators or something much bigger than that. I was there with all of these groups, and there was no the kind of vitriol we saw afterward. So I do believe that there was some manipulation here. Now, at the end of the day, the fact that this person is working for Fox and he ended up here and I didn't see, just it screams to me that they're trying to create the division. They're trying to create the image that people who are anti-vaxxers or maskers are coming after you. They're attacking people. They're violent. They're terrorists, right? They're Trump supporters, so they're also white supremacists, right? So you see all this kind of comes together. The two-party illusion, the extremist mentality, this is how they're using it. And if you get people like that in the right place, you get people that can make this kind of thing go viral. We know who you are. Well, yeah, you know what? We do, and we should, because these are doctors and these are politicians. But to put it in the context as if we're coming after people, that is what he started. Was that intentional? I don't know. But I'm very suspicious. Now, here is what we're seeing from a lot of people today. And this is a nurse. And I want you to take this away and just realize how ridiculously contradictory this is. The people that are right now screaming about it, I mean, the people that are trying to force this thing on everybody are the ones that were moments ago fighting your body, my body, my choice, you know, all these different kind of arguments we've made before. But the reason I want to point this out is to show you that this argument that's being made right now about how we are, you know, being, I don't know, dangerous, putting other people at risk because we believe we have rights. This has turned into an interesting division of people who actually now believe the Constitution, the idea of freedom, is like the antithesis to what they're trying to accomplish. That's crazy. So she says, for, you know, avert your children's eyes if you're watching, it says, F you, F your freedom, F your racism. So I don't even know how, so this is, you know what I'm saying? Freedom is now synonymous with Trump supporter, racism, fascist, You see what I mean? And this is just one, but I've seen a lot of this. F your freedom, F your racism, F your fascism, F your Constitution, F your Trump, right? So are you, Democrats don't believe in the Constitution? Like, this is crazy, but this is what they're creating. They've broken people's minds. By the way, just like Trump derangement syndrome was applied to both sides, it equally deranged the Republicans as much as it deranged the Democrats because they're both lost in the two-party illusion. I was just talking with a friend of mine today. We're talking, what we're seeing here, this is COVID derangement syndrome. That's what this is. COVID derangement syndrome. Actually, I just realized I had a tweet that I hadn't sent. Let me see where I had that. Oh, right there. Let's call this COVID derangement syndrome. Philip Watson posted this out. My mask isn't working because you're not wearing yours. My vaccines aren't working because you haven't taken yours. Do they ever just stop and listen to themselves? Personal responsibility has been replaced with nanny state syndrome. I forgot to tweet that. Philip Watson always doing a good job. Sorry, I just realized I was going to send that earlier. So the point is, COVID derangement syndrome. That's what we're talking. That's what we're staring at today. Where was the link here? Here we go. I truly believe that, guys. I mean, this is CDS. Call it whatever you want. I mean, I'm trying to use the term just so people understand what it is, right? People have been deranged by the idea what they're being sold is COVID-19. But it goes on to say, F your anti-vaccine stance, right? Yes, Mussolini was a better leader than DeSantis, and he never deliberately killed people like DeSantis is doing, right? So you see how DeSantis has already taken this like de facto, like fighting for you role. I don't buy it for a second. I would let the Taliban run a train on me in Kabul before I'd go on a date with an anti-vax. Oh, geez, you wonder if she's tapped into the talking points of the mainstream media, right? Kabul, Taliban, she's hearing all the fear. You know, it's everything else. Only time this person ever felt sorry for the Taliban. But the point is, now your constitution, your freedom is in the same line as anti-vax. Like, so can you not believe in freedom and still, I mean, it just shows you that this is being created in her mind, that freedom and constitution is part of the Trump stance. That's scary. Now, last point before we jump over into some really important study, some real scientific research, we just showed you this. Now, the reason I'm showing it again is because I want to point out something that I briefly said the other day. Nobody out there is pretending that none of this is happening, right? Oh, they're pretending, we don't know for sure. It could be this, but we do know for sure that some of this has happened. 100%, right? This is not, nobody can deny this. They have proven that there are blood clots that have happened because of injections. They have proven that exactly what you're staring at has happened because of the mRNA injections. 100%. Okay. Maybe you want to pretend that's super, super rare. That's fine for the context of this point. I disagree with that. The point is, if we know it is happening and we know that the vaccine companies have been given indemnity, we know that the government can't be held accountable. We know that the nurses, the doctors, the people administering it, the Walgreens, the people that give it to you, none of them can be held accountable for this based on the HHS and the government's laws they've laid down or, you know, protections. So what does she do? Right? How she just has to pay for it, apparently. So we just completely have just like boxed out this rare grouping, even though I think it's not very rare. How is that acceptable to anybody? We just don't care that that one person, 10 people, 100 people, I don't care what it is. We don't care that they suffer and nobody takes care of them. Nobody's paying for their problem. They don't get to sue anybody or hold somebody accountable. No. Do you not realize how crazy that is? She has nowhere to go. And that's acceptable. And we're the dangerous anti-vaxxer. You know, it's just so sad to me that people like this, a nurse is saying, F that person. We don't care about your anti-vaccine stance because they've decided already that she's wrong because they already know what's right. Makes me really sad. Because this is happening, guys. And if even one person has to go through this with their child suffering in the background and then not have anywhere to go, not have enough money to pay for it, suffer for the rest of your life without recompense came to mind, but I'm trying to think of a different word. Just, you know, anything, any money, support coming from anybody that should be helping because you did something that you thought was right, was told that you were told was the right thing to do, even though you were lost in that propaganda. And this is what you have to live with for the rest of your life. It makes me sad. Now, here is Aaron Mate saying the vaccinated are getting infections, but their chances of being hospitalized are tiny compared to the unvaccinated. That's not true. So by the standard of saving lives, I would argue that the jab is definitely working. This is coming from a point basically arguing that Canada's doing better than us because they have a higher vaccine rate, and arguing that the healthcare system somehow makes a difference on that, I guess, despite it being a free shot. I don't understand that. But the point being, the argument is that they're the mainstream argument. This is plucked right out of the mouth of a mainstream media saying that, yes, they're getting infected, but it's not hurting them. That's because the vaccine's working. It's nice to repeat what they say, you know, if that makes you feel better, but that's not the truth. As I said, I know that's what the mainstream media is reporting, Aaron, but that's simply incorrect. I've been displaying all the scientific data and reporting from the US and around the world, which makes that very clear. Trusting the mainstream reports on this is an odd choice. Now, the point is here, you know, here, for instance, here's Penn Medicine. This is the, as of today or recent. Simply, you can see it simply says, biotech Moderna, J&J, clinical trials showed that all three vaccines were 100% effective. 100% at preventing hospitalizations and death from COVID. That's just stupid. First of all, to argue that anything is 100% is just a joke. Anybody that before all of this, that would have been laughed at. Nothing is 100%. The same thing they're saying right now. The fact that people are getting breakthrough cases is what we always expect because nothing works perfectly. Okay, then. Anybody explain why that says 100% from Penn University? Penn Medicine? Because that's the agenda, guys. It's ridiculous. But the point is not to say that they're lying with 100%, but rather that they're pointing back to clinical trials, rushed, inadequate, months-long safety and efficacy trials that are way outdated, with different variants, different strains. I mean, what are we talking about? Why would that still hold true to what we're dealing with now? It doesn't. It was lies then, and it's lies on top of new information showing that they're wrong today. But preventing hospitalizations and death, that's just simply not true. Especially if you're going to lie and say 100%. We've seen plenty of breakthrough cases go to hospitalizations and death, which really just mean people who have had the vaccine and then get sick from whatever you want to call is happening afterward. My point is, if we just, you know, it's easy to repeat what the mainstream is saying. But here's some facts for you. This is a great study that was just shared from Robert Malone. Thank you, Robert, for keeping up on all this. I actually just reached out to him again. I was curious about a study he shared about antibody-dependent enhancement. Not apparently, as I read the whole thing, it applies to specifically SARS-CoV-2. It doesn't appear to be in the context of the injection afterwards. So I was interested by that. I reached out and I wanted to talk to him about it. But this one, as well as another study, are related in the same topic. Transmission of SARS-CoV-2 Delta variant among vaccinated healthcare workers. Right. So this is a really important one. This is from the Lancet preprint. It says transmission of SARS-CoV-2 Delta variant among vaccinated healthcare workers in Vietnam, August 10th. So right out of the gate, we're showing you clearly that there's more cases that we're not being told about that they're just keeping from your view. Now added to the list, Iceland, Gibraltar, Malta, Israel, Vietnam, all showing you now that breakthrough is not some little side problem. We're seeing the pandemic of the injected. I mean, that's what these places are showing you. And we'll show you more of that in a second, just to kind of bolster that point for those that may not have seen this before. But here's what the study says. And this is really important. Viral loads of breakthrough Delta variant infections. So people that are injected, that's what breakthrough means, and have the Delta infection, if you believe that's what's happening, were 251 times higher than those of cases infected with old strains detected between March and April 2020. So meaning people who were dealing with a previous strain were lower, dramatically lower with their viral load than people who are currently seeing breakthrough cases with Delta. That's incredible. That is absolutely incredible. Now, the reason I find that so important is that and I'm going to show you this clip again in a moment, which I've showed many times. The data around Delta variant is unequivocal. It is not as dangerous. And that is why we're seeing the drops in these things in general, which I'll make that point clear in a second. It's just simply not as dangerous. So what we're seeing is unvaccinated people who have natural immunity by and large, which we've made that point 100 times, we'll dig in even further today, And all this research is showing are having just as much efficacy, against the variants. And they're not being affected. Israel showed that pretty strongly. Even the people who had this way back in the beginning, who are dealing with natural immunity, are simply not affected, even by the Delta variant. But people who are injected, as even Israel showed you, were a lot higher chance of getting and getting sick. So what we're seeing is those people injected getting something that's less dangerous and just continuing to get sick. And what we're seeing in the drop in the numbers is because it's less dangerous. And all they want to hide from you is how that's predominantly on the vaccinated side. Now it goes on to say, and this is another really important point, neutralizing antibody levels after vaccination and at diagnosis of the cases were lower than those in the matched uninfected controls. Uninfected. That's huge. That makes me, that brings to mind this study, which we'll get back to in a minute. And this is the peer-reviewed research discussing uninfected adults showing pre-existing antibody reactivity. Uninfected. This was in March 15, 2021. Uninfected adults show pre-existing antibody. So you're not even, whether you're infected or not, you already showed pre-existing antibody reactivity. We'll get into the conversation about how you have lasting immunity for the rest of your life, which they're just trying to hide from you right now. But if you can have pre-existing, whether you're infected or not, reactivity, then there's something interesting going on in regard to the previous cold, or maybe this was circulating long before. You can have theories around that. But this is telling you that neutralizing antibody levels, which is what you need, which is what they're claiming this injection is producing, which is what natural immunity does produce for the rest of your life, according to all the sources we'll show you next. Neutralizing antibodies. That's what's supposed to be made to fight off the problem. What they're saying is those neutralizing antibodies after vaccination were lower than the uninfected controls. How do you explain that? How do you have lower antibodies after the injection that's supposed to give you the antibodies to use it? You know why that rings true for a lot of other reasons? Because we've reported on this many times. And the Red Cross already pulled back on allowing convalescent blood to be given to these people because they claimed this.
And your COVID-19 vaccine, you're going to want to listen to this. The Red Cross says anyone who has received their COVID-19 vaccine cannot donate convalescent plasma to help other COVID-19 patients in hospitals. That plasma is made up of antibodies from people who have recovered from the virus, but the vaccine wipes out those antibodies, making the convalescent plasma ineffective in treating other COVID-19 patients.
Now, that was quickly, hidden and even the Red Cross changed. I have it saved and I've done the show where I've showed you the archive page, right, where they just changed what they said after the fact. But this was reported, guys. This is what they found. And here is another confirmation of that. Neutralizing antibodies after vaccination were lower in the vaccinated than in uninfected controls. You'll never hear this on the mainstream media. Now, again, think about this in context of Aaron's point, right? How does any of this add up with the argument that this is an effective thing saving lives when it doesn't do what they're claiming it does, and you have 251 times higher the viral load than in previous older strains? Now, it says interpretation. Breakthrough Delta infections are associated with high viral loads. High viral loads. So breakthrough cases, people who are infected and get sick have high viral loads, and yet we're pretending like they're not transmitting and getting it. This is the point, guys. Prolonged PCR positivity, which also implies, yes, it's going to continue to spread. Yes, PCR tests, so take it with a huge grain of salt, but they're claiming that it's prolonged. There's a long period of time afterward, they're still able to show that they're sick. It says the low levels of vaccine-induced neutralizing antibodies. How does that make sense? Someone who's been injected with the two doses of this thing that's supposed to save their life, and it's saying that people who get sick afterward have low levels of vaccine-inducing antibodies. Well, why? Because that's what the injection's doing to their body. We just showed you that. Explaining the transmission between vaccinated people. Exactly. Make sure you don't miss that. Physical distancing measures remain critical, right? I mean, this is huge. Now, the point was, we've talked about this quite a bit. Here, this is Jerusalem Post from July 21st. Coronavirus in Israel. What do we know about the 143 hospitalized people? All right, this is as simple as pointing out the percentage, guys. And this is back in July 21st. Of the 143 hospitalized patients, almost 60%, including the three who had only one vaccine, basically 60%. 60% of the hospitalized people. Yet we're going to pretend like it's that lowering their chances of being hospitalized compared to the unvaccinated? Well, that's not the truth. That's not what is being shown. Now, remember the case we just showed from Israel where 88 people caught it from one person who was vaccinated who caught it from another person who was vaccinated. There were all sorts of unvaccinated people in this discussion and none of them got sick. This is obvious. And all we're doing is trusting mainstream who's stating things without backing it up. This is the hospital director telling you over 90% of our patients are vaccinated. The vaccine dissipates in front of our eyes. I've already played you the clip. Here he is speaking. Now, this isn't in Israeli, but this is what they're talking about. I've shown you the different cover, the different articles. 95% of our severe patients are vaccinated. 95%. So this is not saying cases, guys. It's not saying 95% of cases, which they can then go, but they're not sick. This is 95% of severe patients. They're hospitalized. They're struggling. 95% of them are vaccinated. 85 to 90% of all hospitalizations are fully vaccinated. There's no way to misunderstand this. That's why they're not talking about it. It says we're opening more and more COVID wards. The effectiveness of the vaccine is waning and fading out. Here is Israel's hospitalization graph. Now, just take note of the sharp increase, right? This is increasing. Now, where do you, the relevance of this is it's clearly showing you a dramatic increase in, you know, in context of sense about May forward. Okay, despite having over 90% of the population injected. Anybody want to explain how that means that only the unvaccinated are in hospital? It doesn't. It shows you quite clearly with 90% or more, they're still having a huge spike in hospitalizations. Why? Because 90% of them are vaccinated. It's quite clear. I don't know why you, it takes an effort to ignore this kind of information. Here is Malta. You want to see something pretty crazy? The line here is where it is today, right? Malta is also one of the most vaccinated and masked countries on the planet. And they're seeing a dramatic spike in cases. And here's what's interesting. Again, you could have rolled cases. That doesn't mean they're getting sick. But guess what? Guess what they're predicting? You're already seeing an increase in hospitalizations. But look at what Malta's predicting up until October. That's their prediction. Look at what they're predicting, a higher rise in hospitalizations than in any other point in the entire process of this whole thing. Yet they have the vast, vast, vast majority of their country vaccinated. You following? Right? This is data that confirms that what they're trying to sell you is not true. It's just that simple. They're predicting this rise because they're seeing it happen. It's happening already. And yet they have the vast majority injected. The only way that can happen is if the majority of people in the hospitals are people who are vaccinated, exactly like Israel's telling you. Okay, here is Haaretz. Israel's public health chief says evidence points to waning COVID vaccine immunity. Again, this is the joke about all this, is we know this. I've been reporting that from the beginning. Just like everything else we were censored for, it's now coming to pass. The point is that natural immunity, which we'll get to in a minute, is being just called a dangerous theory. As we're realizing, which we've always should have known, that this injection was never going to be something that lasts, just like the flu. This is something that they want to be a spinning around scenario. Or you could pretend that that's not nefarious, and that's not how nefarious they are, and they're just incompetent. You spin it however you want. Bottom line, this thing doesn't last. Natural immunity lasts the rest of your life. That's why they're hiding it from you. But here's what they have to say. Dr. Sharon Alroy's Price, Israel's director of public health services, said Sunday that evidence points to the waning immunity of COVID-19 vaccine, saying her two biggest concerns with the Delta variant relate to its level of infectiousness and the rising rate of vaccinated individuals testing positive. Okay. So in this right here, they would be like, well, but they're not getting sick. But they are, though, right? So they are. If 90% of the patients in this director's hospital are vaccinated, if we're watching the rise in hospitalizations in general, and I mean, it's easy to see. We can see that 60% vaccinated in the hospital, right? There's a bunch of different ways to point this out. So when they're saying that if the rising rate of vaccinated individuals testing positive, that goes with that. Okay. So a rising amount and a rising majority in their hospital. So it's showing you that the argument that it's only vaccinated, only unvaccinated, and the ones that are getting it are totally safe from hospitalization death, 100%, according to Penn Medicine, is just simply lies. It says, we now see that vaccine effectiveness is roughly 40%. Okay, 40%. So now they're admitting to you that it's not working. And yet we're still going to pretend like everybody has to forcefully get this thing. And that if you don't, that you're more, less or more protected. This is crazy. Finally, it says, we know that vaccinated individuals can infect others, and we know they can be infected. Make sure you really let that sink in for those that are pretending that we're lying about this. They are 50% there of the confirmed cases on a daily basis. On a daily basis, 50% of them are vaccinated. And they can catch it, they can spread it. Where have you heard that before? Oh, that's right, from me. Every single time we've talked about this from the beginning of this entire discussion. Why? Because I read the information directly from the companies themselves back when Forbes actually talked about it in 2020. Weird how that's held true to today. Why? Because it was true. Shocker. And we've been censored for it. And now they're weirdly admitting it all the way after that. It's pretty ridiculous. Now, here is some more information from Ran Israeli. New concerning results. Israel 2021 MDA emergency calls, 25% increase in cardiac arrests and heart attacks. Here's the actual study itself. You can spin through that if you read Israeli. 83.6% increase in heart attacks, women 20 to 29. According to the study, this increase was correlated with mass vaccination, right? The data's here for you to look at. It's quite clear, right? The reality is that we're watching this happen right in front of us. Israel's even reporting most of it to you, one way or another, and it's just being kept from you. He points out the deaths in Israel, 21% lower compared to previous years, right? So 2020, between 0 and 19. But then you go to 2021, 0 to 19, deaths in Israel, low at the peak of the pandemic. Since then, 35% got vaccinated. We had two more deaths. At least 30% of them were exposed before vaccination. Right, you're watching an increase in the people that should be that literally are at zero risk from what we're talking about. This one says, new study, a 25% increase in cardiac arrest and heart attacks up to the age of 39 in the first half of 21. Professor Retsef Levy from Boston with all the details. Now, the links are down here as well for you to check out. But the point is that this is all out there. We're watching the increases and they're just playing a game. They're a shell game of data. They're hiding it from you. Oh, and this is just the new data that even the Biden administration is pointing out. This is from Axios. New data on coronavirus vaccine effectiveness may be a wake-up call. I guess to some people, it says, a new preprint study, by the way, it's funny that when they want to report on it, a preprint study is totally fine. But when we report on something that's preprint, oh, that's a preprint, it's not even peer-reviewed, you're such a fake news conspiracy. It's just funny how that works, right? All the Twitter sphere can lose their minds when it's a preprint. But the mainstream media will point to it all the time. The point is, it's science, scientific research, right? It just, whether it's peer-reviewed or not, it can still, as we've seen quite clearly, they can remove things that are peer-reviewed or not because the editor doesn't like it, which is ridiculous. But the point is discernment, your intelligence. Take time to read it, understand it, look at the source material, ask an expert next to you, right? Don't just blindly trust what they say. A preprint with the scientific research inside is just as valid as anything else. It says that raises concerns about the mRNA vaccine's effectiveness against Delta, particularly Pfizer's, has already grabbed the attention of Biden's administration. The study found that Pfizer's vaccine was only 42% effective against infection. You understand that's not transmission? Transmission doesn't do anything. We're talking now into their conversation about mild to moderate symptoms. They're down to 42%. This is crazy. This doesn't do anything they're saying it does now. And all they're trying to do is blame the unvaccinated, even though all of the actual information starting from where this came from to now doesn't add up with their argument that it's because of the unvaccinated the Delta variant has risen. I mean, really take a minute and think about how ridiculous this argument is. Right. We'll get to the Delta, the variant discussion in a second as well. The Lambda discussion. Right. So they're telling you that it's happening because of the unvaccinated. Right. So Lambda came from another country. So let's just say that. And the point being is that Lambda is, they're saying, it's vaccine resistant. So the people that got injected back in February are now able to get sick from Lambda because the people in the other country weren't vaccinated. You see what this is creating? So I don't care. In their narrative, they wouldn't care if 100% of our country is vaccinated. You're all good over here. But South America wasn't vaccinated, so they created a variant. So now the variant can hurt you, even though you're 100% vaccinated. You see how ridiculous this is? That's not how this works. The only thing that's causing all this is the injection. If that wasn't there, eventually this would, you know, look, even if this was the most deadly thing on the planet, if the injection was not in the mix, eventually it would peter itself out. People would get sick. People would recover. And then people would have antibodies and it wouldn't come back again. It would be there. It's always there, as the doctor told you. But the injection being inserted, just like that scientific research shows you, which I'll grab since we're talking about it, is that imperfect vaccination. That's the wrong one. Here it is. Imperfect vaccination can enhance the transmission of highly virulent pathogens. Vaccines that keep hosts alive but still allow transmission could thus allow very virulent strains to circulate in a population. Right, the thing that Joe Rogan just pointed out, and nobody's talking about this except we've talked about it 17 times since the moment it came out. But the point is, or not the moment, but the moment we saw it, this is 2015. The point is, it's obvious that this is what we're talking about. Vaccines that aren't, you know, that are keeping you alive, that's their argument, but that's still allowing transmission. Well, clearly, this is allowing this to continue to populate and spread. Right? So even if we get 100%, we're only, what, 15% of the world? So if you pretend that getting 100% injections in our country is going to stop the variant from over there from stopping you, I mean, you realize this is never going to end. The only thing that makes it end is if the injection stops being part of the conversation. I don't know how that could be any more clear. Look at Israel. Look at Malta. Places, especially like Malta, who reached herd immunity, they said, back in March. And yet somehow these new things that are popping up from other countries are still affecting them. Exactly my point. Because 100% injections don't stop the variants created over here. That's their narrative. Now, if you want to understand what doctors are saying that they're, you know, afraid to say, this is an interesting thread somebody shared with me. This is just updating, basically. Now, just so you can see here, commenting on this is limited to medical professionals, right? They have to actually prove who they are and log in as a medical professional. Now, what you're going to find if you read through this is almost all of them are completely speaking out about how dangerous this is, how what a bad way we're in, how nobody's listening to them, how they're afraid to speak out. And yet the image we get from everybody in the media doesn't really encapsulate that. I wonder why. Licensed pharmacist in Canada. I would love to provide an opinion, but I'm terrified of being blacklisted by our single payer system, regulators, government. I'm a nurse in Alberta. At some point, the public is going to depend on those of us who question the safety of the vaccines. On and on. Read it for yourself, guys. These are doctors, nurses, medical professionals that are speaking in this comment section. There's 1,300 of them. Most of them pointing out what the media is saying is only a bunch of fringe weirdos in their basements. Interesting, isn't it? Now, on to another point about the Delta variant. This is one of the arguments being made in regard to this comment. Right. So I said, I know that that's what the mainstream's reporting, but it's simply incorrect. I've been displaying all the scientific data and so on. And they point out deaths versus cases before vaccines, death versus cases after vaccines. Okay. Now, the argument here is that they're trying to say that the vaccine is made. This is using correlation as causation. Now, could that be the case? Sure. But that's an assumption, isn't it? Yes. It's a correlation. Another correlation is the fact that the Delta variant is less virulent or dangerous, the right word to use. So if it doesn't hurt people as much, wouldn't that explain that? It would. Exactly. Just like that. As I said, right. And are you considering that the Delta variant is verifiably less dangerous? More transmissible, sure. And I'm just saying that because that's the argument. But the data unequivocally shows it is far less dangerous. Data versus mainstream narrative. Israel is showing that despite this fact, the unvaxxed are still being hospitalized. Interesting, right? Now I'm going to play this clip for you. Again, just the first part of it, because this is exactly what he says it is. And the same thing's happening now, by the way. This was done a month ago, I think, and the same thing's happening now. You see the rise of the cases and the deaths are bottoming out in most all these locations.
Okay, guys, crucial update on this variant thing. So, Delta variant, is it different from the Indian variant? Everyone's confused. Well, actually, the Delta variant is the Indian variant. It was just rebadged.
Which I find very suspicious in its own right. Right? Why would they not want you to know it's the same thing? Why wouldn't they use the same name so we're all on the same page around the world? The only reason you do that is for some kind of deception. Right? All that would do is add confusion to cross borders and world efforts, right? They wanted you to be scared about this because the Indian variant has already been shown to be, to not be what they're saying this is now. Put it that way.
Now, this report just came out. Here's the data on the variants. And we see the purple here is the Delta or Indian variant. And we see from early April, it has absolutely dominated all the cases in the UK. So it was 10% already in mid-April. It was 50% of the cases in early May and 75% by mid-May. And now it's pretty much nearly all of them, 90%. So if this is a problematic, dangerous variant, it would already have caused in the past month or two enormous impacts, right? Well, let's look. Here's government data just taken. Goes right up to 17th of June. You can look it up. This is all government data. And you can see the hospitalization impact. Add in a green trend line. We're going to use this in a moment. And we'll superimpose it over the variant graph. So for our variant graph, purple is the Delta or Indian variant. And it's obviously taken over the past couple of months in the UK. And we'll add in our hospitalization real world impact of SARS-CoV-2. And here's the line. And you'll notice that as this variant took over completely over a couple of months, effectively nothing happened, the real world impact or hospitalizations. And this is clear as day. And be under no mistake, guys, this is not a projection. It's not modeling. It's not hypothesizing. It's not estimating. This is a de facto proof, an empirical proof that the variant doesn't add up to anything much at all in terms of real world impact.
Great clip. Now here is the cases. Oh my gosh, that looks super scary, right? Here's the deaths. Right, and the argument is always, oh, but one is too many. Yeah, okay, that's an easy sidestep to say. The reality is, in context, that it's not that much. And of course, even more so is to point out that and this is what he was making the point there. So we've seen this dramatic increase start way back in May, right? So based on their timeline, they keep shoving down your throat. Well, in 2 weeks, we should see the corresponding rise in deaths because this is the biggest pandemic in a century. Here's May. Nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. It completely bottomed out. There's not even anything showing up. You see, it only shows up when you come across something. See? Zero. 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 18. Zero. 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 8. 17. Zero. Zero. All the way to June. July. Finally, 27. So what happened to all those cases, right? Obviously, they weren't what they were saying. Either they were false positives or the Delta variant's not as dangerous. What I mean, there's a lot of things that you could assume. And I will never tell you what I think as the fact, right? Like it's happening over there. Well, this is vaccines afterward. Proof. Nope. That's correlation. And here's another correlation. But the reality is that it's not what they're saying, however you spin it. They're lying to you. Shows you pretty clearly that the Delta variant is not even close to as dangerous as they're trying to make it out to be. And I don't think any of them really were, based on their own data. Now, here is another really important study from Journal of Infection. Infection-enhancing anti-SARS-CoV-2 antibodies recognize both the original strain and the Delta variants. Potential risk for mass vaccination? It's quite interesting. Antibody-dependent enhancement is a potential concern for vaccines. Another study telling you that. Isn't that funny? Uh-oh, where's MDZ-Dog or whatever that guy's name is, right? Where's he at to lie about this yet again and be like, no, fake news. There's no evidence of this after all the peer-reviewed research that we continue to show you that clearly shows you the danger of this exact problem, right? We'll get to it in a second. Another one, right? Now it says antibody-dependent enhancement of infection is a safety concern for vaccine strategies. Yep. It says, in the case of the Delta variant, neutralizing antibodies have a decreased affinity for the spike protein, whereas facilitating antibodies display a strikingly increased affinity. Thus, ADE may be a concern for people receiving vaccines based on the original Wuhan strain spike sequence. Yes, now that's important because remember, this is the genetic sequence that was sent to Moderna and everybody else from China. And a couple days later, they were pumping out injections. Now, the reality of this is this never really changed based on anything else that happened. So their point is that now that there's something else going on, so we're being told, we can see the problem as their scientific research has described, that we're now dealing with a new strain, and yet they're still trying to pump away at the old one. Sound like the flu injections they do every year where they're constantly failing after trying? Yes, right? This is what we're, this is the same thing they're trying to set up, just like we've had for flu boosters and every 6 months and every year, more shots, just like a routine money train and whatever else they're using to experiment on you, whatever's going on in there. But here we are seeing their research tell you that it's a concern for people being injected based on the original strain, right? So based on this scientific research, they should pause the entire thing and use the new information to create a new one, right? That's not what I'm saying we should do. I don't trust anything they're doing. And all they're going to do is pump in the new genetic code and pump something else out. But the reality is that we're still giving them the basic, the one from the very beginning. And this is likely another reason on top of the other 30 reasons we pointed out that this thing is dangerous and causing problems. And before everybody loses their mind, remember the word dangerous just simply means able to cause harm. And if anybody's going to quibble about the fact that these are able to cause harm, then you're not paying attention. Bottom line, at the end, it says ADE, antibody-dependent enhancement, may occur in people receiving vaccines based on the original strain and the sequence. By the way, either mRNA or the viral vector, so any of them, and then exposed to a Delta variant, right? It's exactly what we're talking about. This is the idea that RFK Jr. and plenty of others have pointed out. It says, although this potential risk has been cleverly anticipated before the massive use of COVID-19 vaccines, which really bothers me that they can even point that out so casually, meaning that, of course, we knew about this. This potential risk was cleverly anticipated, except it wasn't told to the American people, except they didn't inform you about the risk, even though they knew about it, which, by the way, you know, because we've shown you this a million times. It goes on to say, the ability of SARS-CoV-2 antibodies to mediate infection enhancement in vivo has never been formally demonstrated. That's also not true, seeing as how we have this peer-reviewed research right here, which found it to be a specific and significant risk. But, you know, I guess even they don't know where this stuff is. But it says, since our data indicate that Delta variants are especially well recognized by infection-enhancing antibodies targeting the NTD, which was N-terminal domain, it says the possibility of antibody-dependent enhancement should be further investigated as it may represent a potential risk for mass vaccination during the current Delta variant pandemic. Add it to the list. Do you think they're going to stop it based on this research? Of course not. But trust the science, unless we don't like what it says. You know, then we'll just pretend it's not there and make you trust what we like. Trust this preprint study. Trust this observational lab study based, and ignore your 14 meta-analysis study of random controlled trials. That's fake news now because of our observational study we did in the middle of the pandemic. Right. Add it to the list. Now, here's what they point to in that study before we go to the informed consent study, something I found very interesting from 2020 in April. The potential danger of suboptimal antibody responses in COVID-19. Read this in its entirety. It's really interesting. But the point here at the end is suggesting potentially detrimental effects of antibodies in some patients. However, 70% of patients who recovered from mild COVID-19 had measurable neutralizing antibodies that persisted upon revisit to the hospital. So first of all the way back in April 2020, they were already telling you had natural immunity that lasted. Who cares about the science though, right? Because we don't want to talk about that. God, that bothers me. But it goes on to say, thus, insights gained from studying the antibody features that correlate with recovery as opposed to worsening of disease will inform the type of antibodies to assess in vaccine studies. Oh, that's cute. This study was actually believing that these Pfizer and, you know, Moderna companies cared at all about natural immunity to model out there. No, they weren't doing that. They were already decided what they were going to do the moment they got the genetic sequence on a computer screen. And they were pumping out mRNA spike producing stuff well before we knew about this stuff here. But it's you know, it's cute that we're going to pretend that they were actually waiting to find out. Nope. Very easy to prove. I've shown you documents many times. Might as well do it again. Just really quickly, so people remember that this is important to understand. You know, I always point out how irritating it is that you have to hit this like 7 times to get down to the bottom. It never used to be like that. I wonder why it is now. It's almost like they don't want you to see this. January 11th, Chinese authorities shared the genetic sequence of the novel coronavirus. And remember, China said themselves that they didn't isolate. The CDC said they did not isolate the virus. Right? So if they didn't isolate it, yet they were able to send the genetic code, what? So this is based on what exactly? Right? A point that I've never forgotten, right? It's a valid point. It's still, but remember, it doesn't necessarily mean that it has not been isolated. All it means is we haven't seen proof of that. But yes, that's one of the possibilities. I just always point out it could mean that they're hiding something that was found when it was, such as the fact that it was made in a lab, right? It's certainly a possibility. I'm obviously leaning toward the idea that this hasn't been isolated at all. That's what the data seems to suggest. By the way, I've actually reached out to Andrew Kaufman again, Dr. Kaufman again, to come back on and dive back into this topic. Because it's funny, there's a huge faction of our audience that just can't get past the fact that I'm willing to consider all sides of this argument. I just want to have him back on so we can go over this information. You know, it's hard for some people to understand how someone in my position has to remain irritatingly objective, even in the face of things that seem very, very promising. I still am not completely sold on the idea of train theory. I'm just not, even after our conversations, but I think it's very interesting and there's a lot there, but there are things that I found to be, that didn't add up to me. And this is where I'm going to bring him back and we'll dive into it even further. But I find him to be very, very respectable and a very intelligent person. The point in showing you this, this point as well.
And why has the data not been shared?
No, they didn't isolate as a virus. That's the issue.
No, they didn't isolate as a virus. That's the issue.
Okay, so if they didn't isolate it, but yet they were able to send genetic sequence, I think that's a pretty clear picture. January 13th, the research team finalized the sequence and Moderna mobilized towards clinical manufacture. So from 2 days on, they already had the sequence they were going to use to make injections. Does that make sense to anybody? Right? It makes sense when you realize that at the end of the day, these are manufactured based on genetic sequence, and all they're going to do is change that based on the new sequences they receive and don't do any more safety testing, which is what they've already told you. That's the future. But going back to this, it's saying it. 70% of patients who recovered from the mild measure had measurable neutralizing antibodies that persisted upon visit. Thus, insights gained from studying the antibody features. Right. The point being that they, you know, this article is saying in April 2020 that they were actually waiting to see what the antibodies were, how they were being produced from people who had natural immunity. But that's simply not true if they were already producing these things in January 13, 2020. Right. You get the point. So how does that make sense? It's not even based on natural. This is something new. They're experimenting on you with a new technology that has yet to ever be seen to fruition until COVID-19. Goes on to say, we argue that antibody-dependent enhancement should be given full consideration in the safety evaluation of emerging candidate vaccines for SARS-CoV-2. Right. So another study saying the same thing. Another study saying this should be considered. Antibody-dependent enhancement seems to be a problem and should be considered before we don't care. In addition to vaccine approaches, monoclonal antibodies could be used to tackle the virus, which is something I was going to do something on this a long time ago. Some concerns I had about it, but it seems yet again, this is another thing that just was pushed to the side because this would create a challenge to the injections, a valid alternative, which then creates a problem for the emergency authorization. But it says, unlike vaccine-induced antibodies, monoclonal antibodies can be engineered with molecular precision. Safe and effective neutralizing antibodies could be produced for right. And of course, they didn't do that at all because the vaccine was the point. The injection was the point. Right. But here is another one added to the list. And finally, the one you've seen many times, December, all the way back in December 2020. COVID-19 vaccines designed to elicit neutralizing antibodies may sensitize vaccine recipients to more severe disease than if they were not vaccinated. Peer reviewed. May worsen COVID-19 disease via antibody-dependent enhancement. The specific and significant COVID-19 risk of antibody-dependent enhancement should have been and should be prominently and independently disclosed to research subjects in the trials, people who are being recruited for those trials, or people who are currently taking the injection in order to meet the medical ethics standards of patient comprehension for informed consent. Meaning they never did that. So hence they are not meeting informed consent. It's pretty simple. Right? You could maybe dismiss one, but then you add another one and another one and all these peer-reviewed science, scientific research coming out studies coming out all from every which way telling you that it's obvious that there's a risk there. Not that it's guaranteed, but there's a risk. And yet no one's being told about that. This from the very beginning is saying specific and significant. No one's being told about that, right? Z-Dog out there saying it's fake news. He just did it again to that Mount Vernon guy. The doctor that stood up and spoke about antibody-dependent enhancement. They just dismissed it right out of just, it's frustrating. This is the expert, right? YouTube's allowing this guy to spread dangerous medical misinformation constantly, hundreds of thousands of views, and he's lying to you. It's plainly easy to see right there. But unless you blindly trust the authority, if you want to even consider that an authority. All of this stemming back to the idea that these things are dangerous in a lot of different ways. And of course, we've also shown you, on top of the fact that, yes, hospitalizations are seemingly very heavily slanted in the side of injections, and same with everything else we're pointing out in a lot of different locations, the risk is simply not there. This is the Oxford calculator I've shown you a couple times already. And I've shown you this one specifically just because of the literal one in a million chance for children. This is a 19-year-old. It gets exponentially lower if you go down below 19, but the calculator only goes to 19. I wonder why. 0.0001% risk of death. 0.0001% risk for a 19-year-old. Literally a one in a million chance. That's like a joke. You have a one in a million chance of dying from COVID. Does anybody think that's a risk? Just being hospitalized, 0.0021%. If you have a one in a million chance of catching something, that's a joke. That's a 19-year-old. How about a 40-year-old? Here's a 40-year-old. 0.0017%. Of course, with no comorbidities. 0.0017%. Even hospitalization, 0.028%. So how are we pretending like this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated if people 40 and below have less than a 0.028% chance of even being hospitalized? That's according to Oxford. But, you know, facts and data, you know, I like to listen to mainstream and just repeat what they say. You know, that's the more intelligent way to do it, because then people will pretend I'm smart. Well, here is the meta-analysis of 113 studies, all of which were trying to find out the infection fatality rate, all said and done, of COVID-19, as I've shown you many times. Peer-reviewed research, meta-analysis, right, of all of the other peer-reviewed research around the infection fatality rate. And they find the infection fatality rate is very low for children and younger adults, 0.002% at age 10 and 0.01 at age 25. Now, the reason this is higher is because they're including all of it, right? They're not just saying the risk for this one person. They're saying this is the average. And the point is that that's including 50, 60, 70 with comorbidities, where the number goes up exponentially based on the fact that they're sick from a lot of other things and probably going to die at an older age anyway, which is what Swiss policy research has told you, that the actual fatality rate is perfectly in line with natural mortality, right? That's why a bunch of people who were already dying in the hospital got tested and said, you got COVID, and they die, and, oh, that's a COVID death. That's why flu disappeared. And everybody who goes in to get to for flu or anything else, a stub toe or whatever else, we've already talked about all this, they get a COVID test as a matter of routine. That is the epidemic that wasn't from 2007. You're creating an illusion based on a PCR test that they admitted, the New York Times admitted in 2007, was the problem. As the doctor quoted, our over-reliance on this molecular test was what led to the epidemic that wasn't. That was exactly what they said. And here we are again. The point is, all of the actual information, all of the scientific research they claim they're trusting, absolutely demolishes what they're trying to say right now. You're not at risk if you're 40 years old or you're 19 years old. I mean, realistically, you go up to 70 on this thing, it's still with no comorbidities. It's the flu. You're not at risk. And this is Oxford, guys. You can't pretend like this is fake news if you're using their source material. And again, I'm not saying you should trust Oxford. What I'm saying is this is who they're telling you to listen to, arguing from within their narrative. Now, the reality is you're not at risk. We're seeing this happen. We're seeing this rise in vaccinated issues. And all they're saying is unvaccinated tax. Should the unvaccinated have to pay more for health insurance? You know what? That's an interesting thought. Maybe they're so aggressively trying to get everyone to get injected because then there's no control. Do you know what's happening right now with 50% unvaccinated? We're the control group. And as this goes forward, it's going to become impossible to hide what's happening to these people because we have a control group. The same thing that they hid from you by giving all the people in the studies the vaccine, claiming they had a moral imperative, just like Del Bigtree told you they would, which then demolished any kind of long-term safety studies because we'd remove the control group. So right now, we are the control group. So when they're pushing this so aggressively and argue, you'll pay more for taxes and you're going to have to lose your job. And I think they're trying to remove that from reality on top of a lot of other things. But we're really now pretending that you're going to have to pay. Remember what the FDA said about your medical, your medical treatment. The FDA literally said in its documentation, your medical treatment wouldn't change. Let's see if I can find it. Nah, I don't want to take too long. But you remember in this document, we've gone over it many times. One of the things that they outline in here is, you know, it's your choice, basically. Your choice to get this. Let me look up that. Here we go. Here we go. Perfect. Okay, it says, what if I decide not to get it? And it says, and this is, oh, look, they just updated it, August 12th. It says, it's your choice to receive or not receive the vaccine. Should you decide not to, it will not change your standard medical care. Well, we've already seen that's a lie, like everything else in this that they're not following the rules about, like, you know, such as, you know, people who are immunocompromised. I mean, there's a lot of things in here. This one looks like they just updated it for the third dose discussion, but there's a lot of stuff in here about having all the appropriate equipment where they're giving the injections, even though none of the places at the Walgreens or the Waffle House or the fair have those things. They don't care. But the point was, in this case, that your medical treatment won't change. But that's a lie, right? We're literally watching them say, should we charge them more for their medical treatment because they're bad people? Yeah. Even government, even nurses, even doctors. I've already shown you doctors that are refusing to treat people because they're unvaccinated. So it's all a bunch of lies, but it's okay to lie on the good guy side, though. Same thing, right? They've authorized the COVID-19 boosters for immune. So this is the worst part about it. The same thing, like right now with a weak immune system, or people who are elderly, like these are people that are supposed to be protected. These are the weakest among us in this context, or children, right? And yet they're the ones suffering the most. Right now, this is the least effective for people who are elderly. Right now, the people with a weak immune system should be running screaming from this thing. But they're the ones that are making the booster. Come on. There's a reason for that, right? There's a eugenic lining to this across the board from UK to the United States. And it's very obvious. This is why in England, they said 60% of their deaths were people with disabilities. How do you even make sense of that? Or the fact they were giving do not resuscitate orders to people with dyslexia. Right, because dyslexia is going to get in their way from resuscitating them from dying from something. There's no way to hide that. They were hoping COVID-19 hit it for them. Well, going on to more problems of the injection as we pretend that this thing is helping everybody. Cardiovascular magnetic resonance images of three patients showing patterns of myocardial damage after COVID-19 vaccination. It's most likely a COVID-19 vaccination associated autoimmune myocarditis, according to the authors. And yes, here is the research from a peer-reviewed outlet. July 31st, occurrence of acute infarct-like myocarditis following COVID-19 vaccination. Vaccination-associated autoimmune myocarditis. Now, as it says, considering possible myocarditis after COVID-19 vaccination, a CMR study was performed on the next day. A non-ischemic pattern of myocardial damage suggestive of an active inflammatory process was observed in the basal and apical segments of the septal wall, indicating a presumably vaccination-associated autoimmune myocarditis. So this is just this is what they were perceiving it as. Says, since there were no clinical symptoms of infection, apart from the aforementioned vaccination, which is interesting, so causing signs of infection, prior to the beginning of acute, you know, that's probably just the normal side effects, which means effects of the injection, prior to the beginning of acute chest pain, a presumably vaccination-associated autoimmune myocarditis was supported in this patient. Finally, it says, hence, a rapid increase in reports of post-vaccination myocarditis will, unfortunately, not be surprising based on the available data. Now, does that sound like a rare discussion? Right? Does it sound like a rare and uncommon scenario when they say a rapid increase in reports of post-vaccination myocarditis will, unfortunately, not be surprising based on the available data? If large vaccination campaigns will start for younger people, yeah, that does not sound like a rare problem to me in this peer-reviewed scientific research that they're ignoring. It sounds like it's an obvious problem that will increase if we do what they are trying to do, which is inject children. By the way, they're already doing that. It says, therefore, regarding current discussions addressing the risk-benefit ratio of COVID-19 vaccination of children and teenagers, and by the way, anybody under seemingly 40 years old, vaccination-associated adverse effects, including autoimmune myocarditis, need to be considered carefully. since young people are at a very low risk for severe COVID-19 infections without a vaccination, even without it. Yeah, you mean a 0%, literally statistically insignificant, according to even the CDC. But no one cares. Not in the mainstream anyway. Keep parroting those vaccination talking points. CDC biased science misses the boat again, according to PhD James Lyons Weiler. They are dangerously misleading and need to be shuttered. I agree, because the CDC is not fighting for you. They're a completely captured agency, as has been exposed by the CDC itself, by the WHO, by the BMJ, by the HHS. But who cares today? Because COVID, right? Heart inflammation after COVID vaccines, more common than CDC claims, according to this new research from JAMA, which is right here. Right, for those that are going, Defender, that's fake. No, we debunked. Or James Lyons Weiler, he's been debunked. Okay, well, here's peer-reviewed science. So be quiet. But here's first what this says. A new study published in JAMA shows 1 in 100,000 people had vaccine-related myocarditis, and 1.8 in 100,000 people had pericarditis. Compared to, guess what? The CDC's data that said 4.8 per 1 million suffer myocarditis. You know what that is? That's the 1% scenario that we already keep telling you is happening, as HHS and Harvard told you before all this started, that the reports we're getting in VAERS is less than 1% of the total. And there you have it, right there. 1 in 1,000 becomes 1.8, whatever, becomes 4.8 in 1 million, because they're going to take at face value the reports, even though they're dismissing all of that, even though it's far, far, far more than that, as we can all see. And this is what the study shows, that it's far more. Now, the study itself, I don't think I highlighted anything in this article, is very revealing. Now, remember, in conjunction with this discussion, showing you that this is not something that's random, and it's obviously being caused by the injection, as they find, August 4th, myocarditis and pericarditis after vaccination for COVID-19. And it finds in the discussion, two distinct self-limited syndromes, myocarditis and pericarditis, were observed after COVID-19 vaccination. Myocarditis developed rapidly in younger patients, mostly after the second vaccination. Pericarditis affected older patients later, after either the first or second. Okay, so let's not pretend like this is only young kids and only this or only that. It's happening all across the board, guys. Younger, older, after one, after two. I mean, pericarditis and myocarditis are different. Myocarditis is the heart, and I forget what different location. I forget what it was. I looked it up, and that's right. I forgot to look up what it was that says a inflammation of the pericardium, which I forgot to look up what that is. I'll look it up later. But bottom line is, it's not just one simple thing in one simple location or one age group, guys. This is all over the place. And that's because we're dealing with a genetic therapy here. We're dealing with a something, as even other peer-reviewed science has shown, you can integrate with your DNA. But they're acting like all of this is fake news, and all of this is peer-reviewed scientific research. And that's why we keep getting censored. It says some vaccines are associated with myocarditis, including mRNA vaccines. And the CDC recently reported a possible association between COVID-19 mRNA vaccines and myocarditis. Isn't that embarrassing? Now they're still saying, but it's possible. As we have all these research sites pointing out that it's clearly a problem that's going to increase. And they're going, we don't know for sure. Primarily in younger male individuals within a few days after the second vaccination, at an incidence of about 4.8 cases per 1 million. This peer-reviewed study, however, shows a similar pattern, although at a higher incidence, suggesting vaccine adverse event underreporting. Exactly. So 4.8 in 1 million becomes 1 in 100,000. That's the truth and the reality based on the scientific peer-reviewed research that nobody wants to discuss in the mainstream media, because it shows you the real picture. And taking that into the bigger picture of VAERS in its entirety, another great article from The Defender: we've never seen vaccine injuries on this scale. Why are regulatory agencies hiding COVID vaccine safety signals? In under a year, more than 500,000 post-COVID vaccine injuries, both from random individuals, from nurses, doctors, scientists, everywhere, have been reported to VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System that's co-managed by the FDA and the CDC, basically the only primary location for you to report this stuff. Nearly a third of all reports accumulated over the system's entire three-decade lifespan are in COVID-19 category. Yet regulatory agencies remain silent. Talk about a willful ignorance. I mean, this is unparalleled. As this expert stated, deploying any new vaccine based on data from expedited clinical trials into a population without a functioning safety monitoring system in place is reckless and irresponsible given the tools that are available. Now, get this. Let's just say, okay, we had Bayer's and we started up, and now they're going, it's overrun by anti-vaxxers, even though no one's ever proven that. So now they're just ignoring it? Right, so if all they're doing is going, well, it's all dismissed, and no, it's unverified, unproven. Anybody can post whatever they want. Well, that's the point. So then they're clearly pointing out that there is no functioning safety monitoring system. How is that okay? So where are they supposed to go? If everything that gets entered in there is dismissed out of hand because it might be anti-vaxxer, that's my point entirely. They are not researching. And the point is, they're ignoring all of these in its entirety and acting like they're keeping you safe. Guys, there's never been a more obvious agenda in my entire life. It says, for example, when a government commission study highlighted Bayer's inadequacies in 2010, this is the HHS and Harvard discussion, estimating more than 99% of vaccine adverse reactions were going unreported, and that one of every 39 doses of vaccine administered was linked to an adverse events corroborated in vaccine package inserts, guess what? The CDC simply shut the project down. And this is not even a joke. They stopped answering their phone call. They stopped responding to emails from HHS and Harvard. They just stopped. Now, where is the government? Where's the oversight? Where are people supposed to step in and go, hey, respond to them? Obviously, this is we have a problem here. Obviously, we're not reporting everything. Respond to them. Let's get this up and running. Nope. Nobody said a word. Everybody shut back down and quietly went back to work and left the system in place that they knew could be dismissed. There's no way to misunderstand that. And here we are today where they're going, it's not verified. It's dismissed. Exactly. Now, in less than a year, more than 500,000 reports of injuries have flooded into Bayer's following experimental COVID jabs, including thousands of deaths. Yet a deafening regulatory silence has greeted this record-setting volume of adverse reactions, which amounts for nearly a third of all reports accumulated by Bayer's over its entire three-decade lifespan. An experienced statistician suggested the CDC and other public health agencies have taken steps to intentionally hide safety signals. Seems like a pretty obvious conclusion to come to based on what we know that they know. Now, if you think for one second that these groups, the Pfizer, everybody else, that they wouldn't take active measures to hide information like this, or that people in powerful positions wouldn't take actions to hide or suppress doctors that speak out about these things, well, welcome to a story from 2009 that is absolutely relevant to what's happening today. Merck created a hit list in 2009, or at least it was exposed in 2009, to quote, destroy, neutralize, or discredit dissenting doctors. And by the way, nothing has changed. This system today is worse than it was then. As it says, we may need to seek them out and destroy them where they live. That's an email that was exposed to the Australian from Merck. Merck as a company who's making injections, who we claim is doing it for the safety of everybody, right? They're altruistic and fighting for you. That's why we give them indemnity, right? Here they are emailing each other going, we may have to find that doctor and destroy them where they live. Okay, so we're over here screaming about these people going, we know where to find you, even though it was completely staged, in my opinion. And here we have vaccine companies quietly discussing amongst themselves how they're going to seek out just doctors who talk about their problems and destroy them where they live. I mean, read through this for yourself and you'll understand quite quickly that this is not a new thing. That Pfizer, Merck, right? Pfizer, we've shown you Pfizer's tracker. Right, we've shown you a violation tracker from Pfizer's crimes. 71 of them, in fact, totaling over $4.6 billion for health-related offenses, 10 of them, $3.3 billion, government contracting-related offenses, over $1 billion, 19 different crimes, safety-related offenses, meaning like, you know, making sure things are safe or lying about safety results or lying about adverse events, $104 million, 11 different records, competition, on and on. How about False Claims Act, lying about things and things that, you know, lying to Americans, I mean, it doesn't end. But here we are trusting them, pretending like they're altruistic. And this is the same kind of thing we're talking about here. Pfizer, Moderna, these companies are out there. This is, what's the right term for it, right? This is cutthroat business, right? They are willing to lie, cheat, steal, destroy, assassinate. That's, I mean, I'm kind of being facetious, but not really. I mean, corporations are literally, are even, in my opinion, some leading almost everything today. Governments are corporations, right? The bottom line is Merck was hunting out doctors who talked about them and trying to destroy, dissent, neutralize them. If you think that's not happening today, when you have a group, one of the most nefarious companies in regard to vaccines in history, then you're not paying attention. Now, you may ask yourself, but, you know, the in the Delta discussion, as we pointed out many times, how do they possibly know? Right? How do we know this is the Delta variant on top of everything else we're talking about, right? Oh, these things work perfectly. Well, how about we ask the real question, as we pointed out many times, about whether this is even what we're dealing with. And this is all just an illusion based on the numbers and data and PCR tests and everything else they're playing with. Because as they've admitted, as I showed you before, it says, right now, we are assuming any new Delta, any new cases Delta, given the high probability. This is, where was his name? Dr. Peter Chin Hong, an infectious disease specialist at the University of San Francisco, California. Telling you quite clearly exactly what we're telling you. They don't know. He says, if you're testing positive for coronavirus in summer 2021, you likely have the Delta variant because the CDC estimates that that's the case. And he's telling you right now, we assume when we do the PCR test. This is not hard to find, guys. They've been lying to us about, they're guessing based on sample sizes and estimations in certain locations. They don't know for sure Delta is the predominant issue. They're estimating based on their guesses, based on their samples. Here's the New York Times. If you're diagnosed in the U.S. with COVID, the odds are overwhelming that you have Delta. Same thing. They're estimating. That said, standard COVID tests won't tell you if your infection was caused by the Delta variant or another variant. But that's the one they're testing everybody with, so figure that one out. They're telling you they use genomic sequencing to identify levels of different variants in a community, right? They tap it in, from high altitude perspectives, and that's not typically shared with individuals. They're guessing. It couldn't be more clear. And remember that here's the White House telling you that they just blindly listen and trust what the CDC tells them.
On the Guatemala situation.
For sure.
Hello.
I don't understand the question.
Well, how do you test when? I still can't get past how ridiculous that is. How do you know it's the Delta variant? And look at her face. I don't even understand. You don't understand? You don't understand the question of how do you test for the Delta variant? Are you just that stupid, or are you clearly afraid of answering that question?
That is the Delta strain in the area when people just test whether they're COVID positive.
Well, we don't test it. We listen to public. Well, the scientists, and they tell us that it's the Delta variant.
Thanks, YouTube. I think it's hilarious how YouTube is always trying to mess with me constantly. You want to see something funny? That happens without fail, by the way. Without fail. YouTube has made sure their platform doesn't function for me unless it's on a private window, which is hilarious. Check this out. I'll try to share. Oh, weird. That's weird. It just circles forever. I wonder why. I guess I'm not allowed to share, but check this out. Let's jump over to a private window real quick. Grab the same link. Here, let me just share this one so you guys can see it. I just find this to be kind of funny. I've been wanting to share this just because I want you guys to see how funny this is. But so, you know, same link. Let's share it real quick on a private window. Let's see what happens. Real quick. Oh, it's working perfect. Let's share it real quick. Oh, look, I shared real quick. Let's do transcript. Let's see how that works. Boom, comes right up. Isn't that funny? Okay, let's go back and check this out. Let's circle back. Oh, I got to do the window again. One more time. Oh, look at that. It's still circling. Let's try it again.
Good afternoon.
Working fine. Share. Oh, weird. It's going to circle forever. Yeah, it'll do that forever. It literally won't work. Let's do the transcript. Open the transcript. Oh, weird. It's just going to circle forever. I mean, isn't that ridiculous? Like, they have literally targeted me, whatever, no matter where I am, unless I'm on a private browser or a VPN is on, YouTube doesn't function for me. And by the way, if you think that only applies to YouTube, you're not paying attention. Google, Gmail, everything. They have blacklisted me. I love it. It is classic because that's not what you would expect. That's a childish, petty move. Why would they? I mean, if you're just trying to stop fake news, why would you then make sure I can't share or can't engage? Because they're trying to stop me. I am censored, not my content. They've censored me as a person. Isn't that hilarious? Just what children they are. Like children. Like that just makes, it just makes me laugh out loud at how embarrassed they should be about themselves. But they don't care. They don't care. But anyway, back to the point. I mean, I guess I played this already. As you guys remember, she says quite clearly, we just listen to what they tell us, the CDC. That's the point. So they're blindly listening to the group that is not, that doesn't know, and they're guessing. And they're telling you, based on those assumptions, that you have to do things, just like we told you in the beginning. This person points out an interesting thing. Thank you, Spartan Charts. He says, Wall Street's reaction is all you need to see to understand where we are today. Market likes COVID-19. COVID-19 equals more free money, more free wealth, or more wealth, more money for agenda, more power, more control, on and on. This has been the strongest market in decades. As they point out, not a joke, S&P rallies to a record high on reports of Lambda variant. Seriously? Of COVID-19 will be vaccine resistant, ensuring further money printing by the... So they report that the Lambda variant is vaccine resistant, and oh my, that's dangerous, and oh my God, we need more vaccines, and we see the highest rally to the S&P in record? There's no way to misunderstand that. The market is rallying behind more vaccine, more lockdown, more. This is crazy. I mean, that there's no way to not see what that shows you. And I don't think they want you to see that, but I don't think there's a way they can hide that. Because this is where they're building into. This is the new infrastructure. So it's going to be something the market likes because they're building into this. I just think that's crazy. So thank you so much for pointing that out, Spartan Charts. And what do you know? We've already reported this to you. Deadly Lambda variant could be neutralizing vaccines, new study says. Well, this is their study telling you that the new Lambda, and this was my point from before, again to say. So we have places that have, like Israel, let's say, who have been highly vaccinated from the beginning of the year. And yet this thing comes from, I think it was South Africa. Where was it? South America. Okay. Comes from South America. So a variant they're claiming is produced in South America because they didn't have enough vaccines down there. Well, plenty of people in the world would argue it's because we didn't give them or help them or whatever, but that's not my argument. I think it's a blessing in disguise. But the point is that they create a variant, and whether or not we've got 100% vaccination, well, the variant is still new because of the unvaccinated, so it's still going to hurt us. So what's the point? Why force everybody in this country if all these variants are going to come from other places based on their narrative? I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. What I think is happening is the injection is causing these mutations, and until the injection stops getting poked into everybody's world, it's going to keep doing it. And I think that's the point. And all they're going to do is blame you. As long as there's one person in the world that's not injected, well, oh, it's that guy's fault. It's going to keep happening because he caused it to mutate. Now we're all in danger. Now the whole world needs to start over. Do we not realize how stupid this all is? I mean, that's ridiculous. But the study is telling you that it's neutralizing the vaccine. So here we are. So right now, if we know that it's the same viral load, if people who are injected can still spread it, can still catch it, and it's neutralizing injections, why are we still forcing this and why are people still taking it? Oh, but it reduces the hospitalization. No, it doesn't. It simply doesn't. Now, I'm only showing you this one example because it's all I have pulled up, but I've shown you many examples from at least four different countries showing you this exact point, including the United States. Here we are, though. All of it coming together, not only from one angle, shows you that we're being lied to. And this is only going to continue around. By the way, just like we said in the beginning, from variant to variant, we're stone hopping from variant to variant. It's going to go on forever. And as long as they got the scapegoat of, you know, those people that, those pesky freedom lovers over there, this is going to continue. I mean, it really should make you sick how they're undermining the concept of your freedom, your inalienable rights, the very foundation of this country.
I'm sorry. I mean, I know people must like to have their individual freedom and not be told to do something. But I think we're in such a serious situation now that under certain circumstances, mandates should be done.
Exactly. right? Okay, so I know you love your freedoms. God, man, they just, that's crazy. Your freedom, right? The thing that you're like, it's like the primary focal point of this country's propaganda. And he's over here going, yeah, I know you like your little special freedoms and all, but we have something we get. Like, that's just ridiculous to me that they can even get away with that. But jumping over to natural immunity to finish up this point, two more points, in fact. This blows my mind. Oh, that's right. Okay, I forgot I had that. So here's the article on Mother Jones, right? About as mainstream as you get. May 12th, 2020. Anti-vaxxers have a dangerous theory called natural immunity. Now it's going mainstream. Right? But the point is, this is clearly being, discussion is being had today. Now, I've done this countless times. I've gone through all these I'm going to show you. I'm going to breeze past the ones I've shown you already. Make it a little cheat sheet for you guys to look into. But the bottom line is how absurd this is, about how we are literally calling a fundamental part of the way we understand how these things work, which hasn't changed, by the way, a dangerous theory. We've all had chickenpox, guys. I mean, this isn't complicated. We had chickenpox and then never got it again. I remember playing with kids, like this was the joke. When you know, your neighbor gets chicken pox and you're like, well, I already had it. So you can play together. And it's like, okay. And it doesn't matter because, you know, you didn't get it again because you had immunity. This is not hard for us to understand. And this happens in a lot of other contexts. And yet we're being told it's dangerous because it's fake news. Now here, I use this so it could highlight it because you'll see when I highlight over here, it doesn't matter. It shows up really funky when I highlight it. Here's the same article. Anti-vaxxers have dangerous theory called natural immunity. Now, it says, and here's the overarching point before we even get into it. Just like they're doing on the fact check articles on Reuters and everything else, what they're doing here is playing the game where they pretend they're about to debunk the idea of natural immunity. But what they're really debunking here, but not even really well in that regard, is the concept that by social distance, but their main point they circle around is that social distancing leads to lower immunity in your body because you're not being introduced to more issues in the world, which is a no-brainer, by the way. If you lived in a room your entire life without ever being introduced to other people, sort of like when, you know, the people came into the United States, when they, you know, occupied the U.S. for the first time and all of their illnesses got the Native Americans sick, it's because they were never introduced to them. And a million other examples like that, right? Smallpox blankets and on and on. The idea is that's an obvious reality. That if you are isolated from these things and then reintroduce yourself, it's possible that you have less ability to fight things off, is the better way to say it. Not necessarily immunity, but your immune system is weaker. That is obvious. Less vitamin D, less everything else. Yes, that's a clear reality that we all know and we've all been taught. And yet here they are going fake news. But the point is, that's what they try to debunk, is the idea that social distancing causes that. Right? And or the idea that by forcing people to get introduced to this thing is dangerous, we shouldn't do that. Well, neither of those things are debunking the concept of natural immunity, rather that how you get there. See my point? But that is what they attack. And they come to their conclusion about how natural immunity is dangerous theory based on the fact that we shouldn't force people to not social distance or whatever. You'll see my point. Nowhere do they debunk the idea of natural immunity, despite that's what they're claiming they're doing. It says, on April 26th, two California physicians posted a video on YouTube. YouTube's bad. About what they said was a potentially deadly side effect of social distancing. Okay, right out of the gate. So their title is talking about natural immunity being a theory. And the first thing they go after is they're claiming there's a side effect of social distancing. It says, our immune systems will get weaker because of lack of exposure to germs. They weren't the only ones to make this argument. So they're already setting the premise for that being what they're undermining, not natural immunity, despite that's what they're claiming they're doing. But in and of itself, that's not a false statement. They're trying to make it into some like hyperbolic claim. They're just simply saying it's possible that not interacting with people can lower your immune system. And that's obvious. It says in a May 3rd YouTube video, he announced, and he says viruses do not harm or kill us. Okay, now, because he says that on his video, they're using that to undermine the other comment. That has nothing to do with the other comment. I mean, it does, but the point is, if you're arguing social distancing won't reduce your immune system, but you're pointing to him saying viruses don't kill us and saying that that's the problem. You're not debunking. See, now we're three steps removed from the argument. This is how this works. They're taking one thing he said in that video and using it to debunk everything else that's totally valid. It's and there's plenty that would argue this statement in and of itself is 100% accurate. And this gets into the concept of terrain theory versus germ theory. Now, it says it's not hard to see why this content took off. The idea or the basic contours of it, at least, have had some elements of truth. Immunologists have shown that in general, we strengthen our immune systems by exposing them to pathogens. Okay, so you just like to say it with different words and pretend like you're saying something else? Okay, that's real fair, right? So not exposing yourself to germs will weaken your immune system. Fake news. But we strengthen our immune system by exposing them to pathogens. Oh, that's good news. You see how ridiculous that is? But she goes on to say, but the coronavirus is not a chronic immune condition. It's a novel virus that attacks the body system in ways not yet completely understood, which also translates to we don't know. So how is he wrong if we don't completely understand how? Yeah, good stuff. It says experts roundly reject the idea. Which experts? Who cares? That social distancing will dangerously weaken the immune system. So you literally just said that we are strengthening our immune systems by exposing them to pathogens, which is what we've talked about that immunologists have shown. Then the next paragraph, you say, experts roundly reject the idea that social distancing will weaken the immune system. So if we strengthen it by exposing it to pathogens, how is it fake news to say that when we don't, that it weakens it? That is some bastardized logic. That's just embarrassing. But of course, it leans into the narrative, so it's all good and absolutely true and not dangerous medical misinformation at all. Of course, experts roundly reject. It's just as stupid as saying, trust the science. There are an endless amount of experts out there, but they want you to be like, oh, all the experts agree. All of them. That's like that gum commercial. 9 out of 10 dentists agree. Really? Are we that stupid? I could point to you 100,000 experts that would disagree with, but the point is their experts roundly reject the idea that I just said was fact. But it says, but the experts I talked to weren't at all surprised to see these discredited ideas making the rounds. So now they're discredited? How do we go three paragraphs down and the thing you just said they agree on is discredited? I don't even know how people can tie their shoes if this is what they're writing. They've seen them before in the anti-vaccination and extreme holistic medicine communities. You mean those communities that they were actively censoring right before COVID-19 became a thing? Oh, that's interesting. Yep. This is the coronavirus edition of their pervasive belief in natural immunity. That's not a joke. The coronavirus edition of their pervasive belief in quotes, natural immunity. You know that totally fake thing called natural immunity? Right. This is ridiculous. A Johns Hopkins epidemiologist told me, quote, we have heard from those that are concerned about vaccines the argument that they prefer to allow their immune system to be naturally exposed to a specific pathogen to gain immunity. It's a spinoff of previous theories we've seen. Okay, wait a minute here. You see how this author is being really dishonest with the quote from Johns Hopkins? Okay, what this person's referring to is the Great Barrington Declaration scenario. Saying, intentionally get yourself sick so you then gain natural immunity. Now, you can disagree with that because that could be potentially dangerous. But what this person is not disagreeing with is that natural immunity exists. But you see, that's how this very dishonest writer is framing it so you think that's what they're saying. Make sure you always remember who's doing it. Keira Butler, a very obviously dishonest or very, very misguided or misinformed person. They're trying to conflate the idea of choosing to expose yourself to it versus the idea that you could just naturally get it and then therefore have natural immunity, which is 100% fact. This is so dishonest. It says, indeed, anti-vaccination groups on Facebook have referenced the idea constantly in recent posts. Okay, which idea? That natural immunity exists or the idea that natural exposing it to yourself can cause... You see how we've already stepped away? Now she's addressing what this person said, not that natural immunity exists, but that's not made clear. And in fact, the writing clearly steps in the direction of natural immunity being fake. It says one widely shared meme lists. Oh, good thing we're debunking meme lists, not scientific research, because that's what we should be doing with our journalism, right? That one Facebook post over there says something we disagree with. So it's all fake news because we debunk Facebook comments on our journalism posts. I mean, this is just childish. a widely shared meme list. Yeah, those things make a difference. But if you're going to try to debunk natural immunity, how about you debunk the 1,000 articles of research that we're going to show you next that all say the same thing about how natural immunity absolutely lasts? You get the point. It says, quote, things that suppress our immune systems. This is the post they're debunking. Mask, gloves, no sun, fear, vaccines, washing hands with septic. All of those things reduce your immune system. That's an absolute fact. 100%. All of them. And it's been completely shown. It's not even hard to recognize. In response to an article about the decline in childhood vaccination rates as a result of coronavirus, one member of the group commented, God, I would love for my children to catch chickenpox. Right. So using this one person's comment to then try to pretend that her saying that she wants to get sick so she can, you know, this is the point. That person doesn't have the accurate information, but they're making that out to be what this doctor's saying or what natural immunity means because one person commented on a post. This is bad writing. In recent weeks, a response to calls for social distancing, several of the groups posted a 2016 New York Post article titled, "We need to stop sanitizing everything and let bacteria back into our lives." So now we're see how far away we are from the idea of natural immunity. They're debunking the Great Barrington Declaration. It says, meanwhile, alternative medicine groups, which I just love that, just all of them everywhere simultaneously, promote the idea that eating the right foods or taking certain vitamins and supplements will strengthen the immune system so that it can successfully fight off coronavirus. How dare they pretend that your immune system could actually help you fight things off? What crazy conspiracy theorists? Let me just read that again in case you didn't catch that. Alternative medicine groups promote the idea that eating the right foods or taking certain vitamins and supplements will strengthen the immune system. The only part they're using to make this sound crazy is so that it can successfully fight out coronavirus. Well, how about the point that people have already done that? People have come in contact with this thing and not gotten sick. So here's your response. It says, like any virus, coronavirus is no match for someone with a strong, oh, that's what they're saying, this person said. Again, one person's comment on a page, right? It's just pathetic. But here's what she says, or the person continues to add, coconut oil, bone broth, and raw milk are among the foods she recommended to bolster the immune system against coronavirus. Now, here's what she finishes with. Just to be clear, the idea is patently false. Humanity has never seen the virus before. Therefore, our immune systems have no natural defenses against it. There you have it. Right. So by her logic, this world would have ended 100,000 times already. The idea is your immune system is able to put up a defense against anything, but it can't always fight things off it hasn't seen before. But to pretend like you don't have any response and that strengthening your immune system versus not will have an effect on something you haven't seen before is childishly stupid. If this is the case, then why were we talking about, you know, being healthy or running or being overweight? Because these things affect your immune system, which then affects whatever you come in contact with. Why am I the one that has to explain this stuff? These are health writers, guys. Good God. They're trying to undermine the concept of natural immunity by claiming that you shouldn't do anything except take an injection and rely on the science, on what they're claiming is the science to keep you safe, even though it's not even close to what they're saying it is. The idea that that eating right, taking vitamin D and things to strengthen your immune system is something you shouldn't do, whether regarding coronavirus, the common cold, the flu, or anything else, is the most dangerous medical misinformation I have ever come across so far in this discussion, other than saying the vaccine is safe and effective, I would argue. They're telling you not to do something that they know will keep you safe from all sorts of things. And it just makes me sick that they're getting away with this while they're censoring us for discussing peer-reviewed research like we're going to show you next. Just to be clear, this is not patently false. This is decades, centuries, going back to traditional Chinese medicine for crying out loud, that the idea that your immune system can be built up and supported and strengthened with sunlight, with healthy activities, with jogging, with eating right, and then that will strengthen it to fight against anything. Doesn't mean it will fight off everything, but it will be a hell of a lot stronger against anything than as if you didn't do those things. God, it just makes me sad to realize that people like this, Keir Butler, probably doesn't even realize that she is hurting people. And the peer-reviewed research they don't want you to see, while telling you that this is a dangerous theory called natural immunity in quotes, Well, here's the ones you've all seen. May 27, 2021. Had COVID, you probably make antibodies for a lifetime in your bone marrow cells that can produce them for most of your lives. Nature, one of the most reputable scientific publications in existence today, they tell you you should trust. Here's that old scientific fake news conspiracy theorist outlet called the WHO saying that within 4 weeks following the infection, 90 to 99% of individuals have detectable antibodies that, remember, they're telling you last the rest of your life, most likely, for up to 99% of people. Here's The Lancet telling you that that same response that 99% of people can have up to lasting the rest of your life, and it elicits robust adaptive immune responses regardless of severity. So you can have barely had it or not at all, or just, you know, passed by your body and you have antibodies regardless of how severe it was. You see where this is going? All the people they're telling you to listen to. Here is another peer-reviewed study saying longitudinal analysis shows durable and broad immune memory after SARS-CoV-2 infection and or with persisting antibody responses and memory B and T cells. This is just through the roof. Rest of your life, 99% robust and memory B and T cells, all along with immune memory after SARS-CoV-2 infection with persisting antibody responses, adding in, it's just precision vaccinations, natural immunity after COVID-19 found durable and robust, July 26th. Here's the NIH back in January telling you that lasting immunity was found after COVID-19. Why are we pretending this isn't happening? Even the uninfected adults that I showed you a moment ago show pre-existing antibody reactivity all the way back in March 15th, 2021. Here's who he is. I don't really know how to pronounce that, but here is the guy's name. He is an Icelandic doctor and the chief epidemiologist of the Icelandic Directorate of the Health since 2015. He's in fact been one of the lead members of their emergency management system addressing COVID-19. And here's what he is saying. Her immunity must be achieved by transmitting the virus, literally contradicting what Mother Jones expert over there had to say about everything she doesn't know about. He goes on to say, and this is one of the leading experts in this field. He says the epidemiologist believes it is now necessary to try to achieve herd immunity to the contrary, coronary virus by letting it continue, but to try to prevent serious illness by protecting vulnerable groups. I misread that, I'm sure. But the point is that this expert is telling you not to do the vaccine is not the answer. Nobody cares. Here's MedPage Today saying, quit ignoring natural immunity back in May 28, 2021. Here's James Lyons-Weiler again, pointing out what Fauci's trying to say. In the midst of all that information, even when the NIH says that it's lasting immunity, here's what he's saying. Well, he posts this quote here. Thank you, James, for sharing this. Here's the actual article. It says, according to Fauci, inevitably there will be a time when we'll have to get boosts. Oh, you mean like right now? Yeah, that's already happening. Because no vaccine, at least not within this category, is going to have an indefinite amount of protection. So he's already telling you, and this is, of course, with the discussion of emergency authorizing these injections for the immune compromised, the third. The point is, he's telling you, on top of that, it's inevitable that we're going to have boosts for everybody. Because he says, no vaccine is going to have an indefinite amount of protection in this category. Okay, so why would you take something that's never going to last the rest of your life while you're staring at the evidence that this natural immunity lasts the rest of your life? Something that you're not at risk from. If you're 19, one in a million chance. If you're 40, one in 58,000, 0.0017% of dying, less than the flu. So why aren't you taking precautions for the flu, right? You're not at risk here, guys, period. And all of the evidence backs that up. And Fauci's telling you the injection is not going to last. We already know that because I've already shown you that evidence. So why then are we pretending that we're, why are they forcing people to take something that they know they don't need? This begins to show you the nefarious angle to all of this. And here's the problem with the people that are continuing to buy this, despite the evidence. As this person says, if you allow the virus to freely circulate 93 million people and give it the opportunity to find vulnerable targets, you give it the opportunity to mutate and form another variant. Of course, Fauci says this on Matto, which literally contradicts the scientific research from before this started, but trust the science, right? The reality is the people who are vaccinated are the ones creating the situation that causes the variant, as even their science shows, as even their scientific research has shown from before this. But this person posts the main point here. This person thinks this is smart. And I'm not even attacking Kathy here because she's been convinced by the media that this is the smart thing to do. Of course, this is Kiva here is the NBC News digital video producer, right? Parroting what Fauci says is absolute fact because that's what they do. This person posts, science is not the truth. Science is finding the truth. When science changes its opinion, it didn't lie to you. It learned more. Right. Because, you know, science is a guy standing over there, right? Fauci is science, right? This is the stupidest thing you could possibly post. Science is not finding anything. Science doesn't change opinions. Scientific method is what we should be trusting. Scientific studies could be wrong. They could be influenced. They could be completely, it could be a thousand different things. That's why the process is what we see, the peer-reviewed process. Then it comes out and we look at it with discernment. The fact that we have editors of these scientific research, scientific publications retracting things for the scientists should show you a problem here because they get pressure from somebody else. It's already been peer reviewed. So why would you then retract it after the fact because of pressure? The peer review process was all that was supposed to happen. You can point to it and say, look, it's wrong. They made mistakes. But the point is it already went through the process. Science is not changing its opinion. Science is never settled is the point, which is what they had to grudgingly admit after saying the science was settled on something else. It's not that they lied to you and then they learned more. The point is that it's always evolving. And if you take at face value what Fauci says is fact, then you're not a science. You're not trusting the scientific method. You're trusting a person who says he is science. That's scientism. And it's just sad that people can't recognize that reality. Which all of this then leads into where this is going, sadly enough. Vaccine required. San Francisco Mayor London Breed announced Thursday that customers in high contact indoor sectors like restaurants and gyms must show proof of vaccination starting August 20th. Employees will need to show proof by August 13th. We are in the realm now, guys, of government mandated vaccination. This is way past employers doing it and so on. They're quietly stepping into government mandates. It's happening already. It's right in front of you. They are telling people you have to have this injection to do things in this city. That is a government mandate. That's exactly what they pretended was never going to happen. Canada announces COVID jab mandate for travelers, government workers. Here's another interesting point. Problems with your digital COVID vaccine card? You're not the only one. So you're telling me that even their digital vaccine cards, which by the way was a fake news conspiracy theory up until it wasn't, are not even accurate? This is just ridiculous. Is it, how many more examples do you need to see that, one, to show you how ridiculously incompetent these people are? But on top of that, it doesn't really matter. It's about compliance. The problem, if you read this article, I'm not going to waste the time on, is that there's issues that people are getting their digital vaccine cards and it's not even the same thing they have on their vaccine card. Wrong vaccine, wrong location, wrong date. One versus two. So it's all over the map. Because they're broken, because these people are incompetent, but it doesn't matter because it's all about saying, I have a card, I'm good. If the system's not working, why are we using it to enforce things like legal fines and arrests? Because it's about compliance. That's it. Now, if you're worried about where this is going, I found this to be quite interesting. Willie Nelson Mandela, thank you for showing this. Here's the actual tweet. Andy Slavitt, who a former Biden White House COVID advisor, says, if people who go out and buy fake vaccine cards get COVID, do they expect someone to put them on a real ventilator? Of course, again, pretending like just because they have a different opinion than you, that they don't deserve medical treatment. What a good person, right? But it goes on to say, we need a way to track vaccination that isn't on a little handwritten paper card, something that's hard to falsify. Have any ideas, contract resources, on and on? He goes, hold for 3.5 weeks and you will see. Well, that's not ominous at all. Well, let's see where his mark is, right? It's August 10th right now. If something happens in 3.5 weeks, it'll just simply show you that they plan this stuff and don't care what you think. And it's all about rolling it out with their propaganda to convince people to do things that they want them to do. And the illusion of some kind of democratic process or representative government is always there. 3.5 weeks. Just like Europe planned this in 2018 forward, guys, this has always been planned. Just in, Biden admin discussing mandates for COVID-19 vaccines for interstate travel, but worried that it would be too polarizing at the moment. Right. Update. White House official told Reuters that mandatory vaccination for interstate travel is not under consideration at this moment. As somebody points out, at this moment. Unless they're willing to say it's off the table, no matter what, it's under consideration. Exactly. By the way, even Trump kept saying that's not on the table. And then it happened a week later, right? They lie to you guys. Why do we think these people are honest? It's like believing in Santa Claus. How are we this ignorant today? Why do you believe Biden or Trump care about you? Good God, we need to get past this already. The reality, though, is that this is happening. They're going, well, we're discussing this, but then when they got pushed back, they go, oh, no, not now, not right now. Okay. Here's the app. Thank you for Hobbs for sharing this with me. Here, Biden's going, no, we're not doing that right now. H.R. 4980, to direct the security of Homeland Security, the Secretary of Homeland Security, to ensure that any individual traveling on a flight that departs from or arrives to an airport inside the U.S., or a territory of the U.S. is fully vaccinated against COVID-19 and for other purposes. I always love that. And for whatever else we just shoehorn in after the fact, you know, whatever. It's all about freedom and democracy, right? The point is, this is already in the works. It hasn't happened yet, but it's in the works. It's already been introduced. This is H.R. 4980, and they are literally trying to make into law that you have to have a forced medical intervention that is not approved and experimental, and they're making laws about it right now. Right? I mean, for crying out loud, the mandates are illegal. Ask yourself what this will be. They're trying to make this happen. You can't fly in or out of the country without having a forced medical intervention. This is the world they're building, just like we told you they were. It's happening right around you while people even in the independent media try to lay shade for the vaccination program. This is problematic. But Biden says we're not looking into it, right? Or no, it's not happening. Trust me. Vaccination passports, according to Thales Digital Identity Security, guess what? Are a precursor to digital ID wallets, offering citizens unparalleled convenience and security. Oh, look at that. Read more about it here. Totally not fake news conspiracy theory, right? Exactly what we said wasn't, you know, what was going to happen. This is just a step into digital ID. Exactly. Well, now they're just saying it right in his face. Vaccine passports are simply a precursor to digital IDs. This is not conspiracy. It's not hard to wrap your mind around when you remember that Real ID 2020 has been driving since before COVID-19. And it was perfectly in line with what? 2020 and 2021, just like Europe's vaccine passport that was lined up for what? 2020 and 2021 since 2018. It's almost like they planned this. How do we miss this stuff, guys? How is it possible that Real ID 2020 can be lined up for 2021 and 2020 long before this started? Europe can have their vaccine passport timeline from 2018 lined up for exactly 2020 and 2021. And we talk about the digital ID and, oh, it's fake news. You dangerous misinformation. And now here are the companies working on that. Oh, it's a precursor. We're building it out right now. We're building your future right now. Fake news, though, right? It's so sad that people are out there playing politics and watching their world destroyed in front of them. You care more about your career than you do about what's happening to the world that you're supposed to care about. This is I forgot I included this. The video that I'm sure I didn't grab from, it's What's Her Face, I believe is the name of her channel. What's Her Face? Pretty sure that's it. Does great, like, kind of parody videos or even just real, just straightforward videos about the ridiculousness of COVID-19. Pointed this out. This is really interesting. It's from May 11, 2021. This is the FDA's document on the PCR test and the emergency authorization. Look what it says right here. Positive results do not rule out bacterial infection or co-infection with other viruses. The agent detected may not be the definitive cause of disease. Pretty clear. Right? So you can get the PCR test. It could say that you're sick and it may not, in fact, be COVID-19. Could be the flu. Exactly. But they don't care. And it's still being used right now. Anybody wonder why the flu disappeared? We've been talking about that many, many times. The agent detected by the PCR test may not be the definite cause of disease. It's pretty ridiculous, isn't it? Let me grab this up top so you can see the actual top of it. May 11th, FDA website, pretty clear, guys, pretty, pretty clear. Oh, and this was the other one I grabbed. And then to wrap this up, UK Sage Advisor says lockdowns can no longer be justified, right? UK Sage Group, right? They're the ones we're supposed to listen to in the UK. We can't do it anymore, but nobody cares because lockdowns are going to happen anyway. They can no longer be justified, just like the WHO said a long time ago, and they're still doing it. Because don't challenge WHO unless we just don't like what they're saying, right? Well, here's Australia. Lockdown specifically in Canberra, tougher restrictions in more parts of Sydney as it happened. Why are they doing this? Well, guess what, man? Serious, getting bad over there. They've gone into lockdown for 7 days after recording 4 positive cases. Just positive cases based on a PCR test that has a hugely high false positive rate. It might even be the flu. But let's lock down the entire country again, or excuse me, the entire area again, based on 4 positive cases. How many deaths? None. This is the world they're building. They can sneeze and suddenly we're locked down, mask mandate. Look what just came back. How we told you this was going to happen. The mask mandates and the lockdowns came back despite both of them being catastrophically debunked by even mainstream scientists, doctors. And who cares though? Lockdowns are coming back anyway, right? Here's a Guardian article revealed. England's pandemic crisis of child abuse, neglect, and poverty. Quote, sharp rise in social services referrals during lockdown, plus spiraling costs for mental health, backlog in family courts, lockdowns have increased domestic violence and allowed safeguarding concerns for children and young people to go undetected. It's just never-ending waterfall. Over 150% increase in child suicide. And we're acting like lockdowns are the right thing to go back to? I mean, good God, guys, this is what even the WHO was trying to say.
I want to say it again. We in the World Health Organization do not advocate lockdowns as a primary means of control of this virus. The only time we believe a lockdown is justified is to buy you time to reorganize, regroup, rebalance your resources, protect your health workers who are exhausted. But by and large, we'd rather not do it. Just look at what's happened to the tourism industry, for example, in the Caribbean or in the Pacific, because people aren't taking their holidays. Looks what's happened to smallholder farmers all over the world because their markets have got dented. Look what's happening to poverty levels. It seems that we may well have a doubling of world poverty by next year. We may well have at least a doubling of child malnutrition because children are not getting meals at school and their parents in poor families are not able to afford it. This is a terrible, ghastly global catastrophe, actually. And so we really do appeal to all world leaders. Stop using lockdown as your primary control method. Develop better systems for doing it. Work together and learn from each other. But remember, lockdowns just have one consequence that you must never, ever belittle, and that is making poor people an awful lot poorer.
Let's note here that he's calling the lockdown repercussions a catastrophe. That is the WHO calling that a catastrophe, saying that we shouldn't be using it as our primary means. They on and on and on, and here we are. It's just baffling, and we're being censored for challenging what they said. I mean, guys, if you can't see how illusory this all is, you're simply choosing not to see it. For politics, for whatever else, it's never been this obvious. We're going to keep battering it down every single day. And we're going to keep doing everything we can to get the information in front of you to think for yourself. And that is what they're most afraid of. So help me do it. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Guilty as charged. Dr. Dan Stock, 5777 West Seminole North, McCordsville, Indiana. To address your comment, geez, it's hard to believe we're 18 months into this and still having a problem. And I would suggest the reason we still have a problem is because we're doing things that are not useful. And we're getting our sources of information from the Indiana State Board of Health and the CDC, who actually don't bother to read science before they do this. I'm actually a functional family medicine physician. That means I am specially trained in immunology and inflammation regulation. And everything being recommended by the CDC and the State Board of Health is actually contrary to all the rules of science. So things you should know about coronavirus and all other respiratory viruses, they are spread by aerosol particles, which are small enough to go through every mask. By the way, the literature that supports all of that is in a flash drive that we presented to you. It's been given to the secretary. As a matter of fact, it quotes at least 3 studies sponsored by the NIH to that exact fact, even though the CDC and the NIH have chosen to ignore the very science that they paid to have done. That is why you keep struggling with this, is because you cannot make these viruses go away. The natural history of all respiratory viruses is that they circulate all year long, waiting for the immune system to get sick through the winter or become deranged, as has happened recently with these vaccines, and then they cause symptomatic disease. Because they cannot be filtered out, and they have animal reservoirs, and this is a very important point, no one can make this virus go away. The CDC has managed to convince everybody that we can handle this like we did smallpox, where we could make a virus go away. Smallpox had no animal reservoirs. The only thing it learned to infect was humans. That's why we were able to make that virus go away. That will not happen with this any more than it will with influenza, the common cold, respiratory syncytial virus, adenoviral respiratory syndromes, or anything else that has animal reservoirs. So the reason you can't do this is because you're trying to do something which has already been tried and can't be done. Equally important is that vaccination changes none of this, especially with this vaccine. And I would hope this board would start asking itself, before it considers taking the advice of the CDC, the NIH, and the State Board of Health, why we are doing things about this that we didn't do for the common cold, influenza, or respiratory syncytial virus. And then ask yourself, why is a vaccine that is supposedly so effective having a breakout in the middle of the summer when respiratory viral syndromes don't do that? And to help you understand that, you need to know the condition that is called antibody-mediated viral enhancement. That is a condition done when vaccines work wrong, as they did in every coronavirus study done in animals on coronaviruses after the SARS outbreak, and done in respiratory syncytial virus, where a vaccine used in a vulnerable individual done the wrong way, which cannot be done right for a respiratory virus which has a very low pathogenicity rate, causes the immune system to actually fight the virus wrong and let the virus become worse than it would with native infection. And that is why you are seeing an outbreak right now. In fact, in that flash drive you're going to have coming to you and in the emails with six extra, there will be a study showing that 75% of people who had COVID-19 positive symptom cases in Barnstable, Massachusetts outbreak were fully vaccinated. Therefore, there is no reason for treating any person vaccinated any differently than any person unvaccinated. You should also know that no vaccine, even the ones I support and would give to myself and my children, ever stops infection. In 2014, there was outbreak of mumps in the National Hockey League. The only people who came down the symptoms were the people who were unvaccinated or unknown vaccine status. Boy, that sounds like a great argument for vaccines. But a question that you should ask yourself, knowing that half of the people who came down with symptomatic disease had no contact with an unvaccinated or unknown vaccine status individual, where did they get the disease? And the answer was from the vaccinated individuals. No vaccine prevents you from getting infection. You get infected, you shed pathogen. This is especially true of viral respiratory pathogens. You just don't get symptomatic from it. So you cannot stop spread. You cannot make these numbers that you've planned on get better by doing any of the things you're doing, because that is the nature of viral respiratory pathogens. And you can't prevent it with a vaccine because they don't do the very thing you're wanting them to do. And you will be chasing this the remainder of your life until you recognize that the Center for Disease Control and the Indiana State Board of Health are giving you very bad scientific guidance. And instead, read the articles that are going to come in the email and are on this flash drive, and listen to the people in this audience here tonight who actually have recognized the advice they are getting from the CDC and the NIH is counterfactual. And that's why you're still fighting this with this vaccine that supposedly was going to make all of this go away, but has suddenly managed to make an outbreak of COVID-19 develop in the middle of the summer when vitamin D levels are at their highest. By the way, the other thing that would be necessary, any vaccine restriction to be considered, is if there were no other treatment available. And I can tell you, having treated over 15 COVID-19 patients, that between active loading with vitamin D, ivermectin, and zinc, that there is not a single person who has come anywhere near the hospital. And we already have studies that show that if you achieve a 25 hydroxy vitamin D level greater than 55, your risk of COVID-19 death will drop down to 3¼ of the population average for the United States. And there are active treatment trials included on that flash drive that show the same is true. So if you were going to discriminate based upon vaccine, you should also discriminate based upon 25 hydroxy vitamin D level, zinc taste test response, and probably previous infection, since there are also studies on that flash drive that show that people who have recovered from COVID-19 infection actually get no benefit from vaccination at all, no reduction in symptoms, no reduction in hospitalization, and suffer 2 to 4 times the rate of side effects if they are subsequently vaccinated. Therefore, the policies that you are basing on are totally counterfactual. I don't blame this board for that because I know you aren't scientists and you've thought it was reasonable to listen to the CDC, NIH, and the Indiana State Board of Health. But I would encourage that instead you listen to the people out here in this audience and read what's on that data drive. And if anybody here in this board has any questions about anything on that, I will happily come back and sit with you individually if you would like to explain the science behind this. And if you're worried about being sued by somebody because you don't follow the guidance of the CDC and the NIH, I will tell you have a free pro bono expert testimony at your disposal. I will testify in defense of this board, turning down all these recommendations for free at any time in any court. Thank you.
Thank you.